Valerie, are we good to go? Can we start now?
Chair, I don't see the DG on the line, but the rest of the department is here. If you can maybe ask them which one of them are good to go, but the committee can start, Chair, if you're ready.
Yeah, no, let's start. Let's not wait for anybody now. Good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. I have already greeted you, the officials from the Portfolio Committee. Officials from the department, I have seen a number of them. You are all welcome to this 1st of June Portfolio Committee meeting, as we will remember that June is the youth month. Let me greet those of us who are still in their youth years. This is your month. I hope you'll utilize it fruitfully to impact on other youth that are still seated at home looking for work and many other opportunities. Apologies, I have apologies here. Apology from the Deputy Minister, who's attending cabinet. Apology from Deputy Minister, who will join us late, 9:30. Then we have a WhatsApp apology, as read by Valerie, from Honorable Sithole, who's experiencing connection problems, but should he come right, he'll then join the Tourism Portfolio Committee. So it's not going to be with us. We also have an apology from Honorable Figile Khumalo, who's attending to the doctor. And we have an apology for Ms. Noluchungu. Those are the apologies that we have from our side. Is that correct, Valerie?
Yes, Chair. And I just received an SMS from the DG's office. He is apparently finalizing a teleconference now and will connect shortly, but I didn't get an indication for how long he will take with the conference.
There are capable officials. He'll find us moving. So everybody else from the members of this portfolio committee should be in the meeting, because these are the apologies. Right, thank you very much. I think today's agenda had two items: deliberations on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill number 7 of 2020, and we will be dealing with the responses from the Department of Transport on written and oral comments on the bill. That's where we are now. I've seen Ndate Makgatho, Advocate Makgatho, and seen many others, Figile, who is leading the team in the absence of the DG. Officials from the department.
Good morning, Chair.
Tandy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Makgatho.
Supposed to be?
Ndate Makgatho.
Good morning, Chair. It's Prasant Mohan here with Advocate Johannes Makgatho and John Mozart Singh. We are online. Mr. Slabisa is on leave. So we are representing the department roads branch today.
I had actually given you an opportunity to forge ahead. If you do so, I'll be very glad, so that we do not waste any more time.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We will ask our legal colleagues to take us through. Thank you.
Thank you.
Advocate Johannes Makato.
Advocate, are you with us?
Morning, Chairperson. Yes, and indeed, I'm in the meeting. Without breaking protocol, Chairperson, DG normally leads this kind of sessions, but I'll try to put up the presentation as we have it, and then as and when he comes in, may I, with your permission, say that he runs through, as it is normally the case, Chairperson. Thank you. I'll try to put up the, start sharing the slides, Chairperson.
Valerie, can you allow sharing? There you are. There you are. Thank you. There you are.
Okay. Okay. Morning, everyone. Johannes Makati is my name. I'm the Chief Director of Road Transport Regulation. Today's session is around the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, which is going to be presented to the Portfolio Committee on Transport. By way of a start, we deemed it prudent that we try to give a bit of a background in terms of what the bill is all about. And yeah. The NRTA is a principal act providing for and dealing with all road traffic related matters in the Republic. Provides for, amongst others, processes regarding motor vehicle driving licenses, motor vehicle registration and licensing, manufacturers, importers and builders of motor vehicles, MIB for short. It further provides for the registration, duties and responsibilities of operators required to be registered in accordance with said legislation. Further provides for the operation and transportation on dangerous goods. I don't know what's happening now with my slide. Supposed to move, Chairperson, and it's okay. It provides for the legislative framework geared at implementing road safety that will result in reduction of accidents and fatalities on public roads, provides for the rules of the road and road traffic signs, provides for offenses and appropriate sentences that may be imposed for transgressive road traffic laws. The amendments that are serving before you have been influenced by, amongst others, driver-operator behavior, newly developed or amended South African standards, for short, the Economic Commission for Europe ECE regulations, and new trends in the motor vehicles industry. A need has been identified to reduce carnages by implementing road safety legislative interventions. The objects of the bill seeks to amend the principal act, the National Road Traffic Act, and it provides, amongst others, for the registration and licensing of motor vehicle manufacturers, bodybuilders, importers and manufacturers, empowers the MEC to register an applicant as a
advocate.
Chairperson, seems like he's lost connection, Chairperson.
Dandy?
Chair, he's online. He must just, for some reason, he's muted. He must just unmute himself. He is online.
Yeah, Chairperson, it said the host had muted me, so I don't know what had happened.
cool down, advocate.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. Cool down and continue. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, it seeks to regulate the registration and grading of applicants as driving school instructors and direct how the application and registration of driving school instructors should be made. Let it further regulate the driving school industry and to prohibit operation of unregistered and ungraded driving schools, driving instructors. I must state, Chairperson, that this is a first in that this bill seeks to regulate driving schools for the very first time. The bill further seeks to ensure misconduct and criminal processes that are more efficient, effective, and properly enforced and implemented. It empowers an MEC to declare as void all documents purporting to be a driving license. It empowers the minister to appoint a person, authority, or body as an inspectorate of driving license testing, DOTCs for short. And it ensures the compulsory registration and grading of driving schools and the suspension and cancellation of the registration by the MEC. Chairperson, we did a clause by clause there just as a refresher to the committee that in terms of clause one, the bill amends existing definitions and inserts certain new definitions. Clauses two and three amends section 3A and B of the Act, respectively, to include notice officers and traffic wardens to be appointed and registered by the CEO of the RTC. Clause four, it amends section 3C by providing that no person shall be registered or remain registered as an examiner of vehicles, the traffic officer, traffic warden, and notice officer if such a person has or acquires a direct or indirect financial interest in the manufacturing, selling, rebuilding, repairing, or modifying of motor vehicles. Clause 5 amends section 3D of the Principal Act by adding the word traffic warden and replacing the word diploma with the word qualification in the minimum requirements for registration as an inspector of licenses, examiner of vehicles, and traffic officer. Clause 6 amends section 3E by providing for the suspension or cancellation of the registration of an authorized officer if such an officer was convicted of a crime as contemplated in Schedule 1 or 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act, or if such a person has direct or indirect financial interest in transport services or motor vehicle businesses. By the insertion of these proposals, Chairperson, we are trying to address the issue of conflict of interest, amongst others. May I just pause there for a second, Chairperson? I've noted that the DG is in the meeting, and may I, as I had initially said to the Chairperson, that as soon as the DG comes in, that he leads as he normally does. Thank you.
No, that's okay. It's me who said you must lead in the absence of the DG advocate. DG, how are you?
Good morning, and good morning to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. My apologies. I was stuck in the meeting facilitated by the presidency since 7 o'clock in the morning, trying to resolve the ETOS matter. So I wish to apologize. I have recused myself from the other meeting to join this. But I would request that Advocate Makgato should proceed, please, Chair, in order to aid the better flow for the discussion for the committee.
I thought you'll do the obvious. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, DG.
Apology accepted. Advocate Makgato.
Thank you, DG. Thanks, Chairperson. Clause 7 amends Section 3 by inserting Sections 3L to 3O, which, I don't know now, because the, let me just remove the screen. Yes. I amend Section 3 by inserting Sections 3L to 3O, which makes provision for application for registration and grading, suspension or cancellation of a training center. Clause 8 amends Section 5 by providing for the process of application and registration as a manufacturer, builder, a bodybuilder or importer, MIB for short. Clause 9 amends the Act by inserting Sections 5A to M, which makes provision for the manufacturer or supplier of blank number plates, reflective sheet for number plates, or an embosser of number plates to be registered, the manner of application, the suspension or cancellation of such a manufacturer. Clause 9 is continued. It amends Section 6 by providing for the appeal process against the refusal to register as a manufacturer, builder, importer, or manufacturer of blank number plates, manufacturer of reflective sheeting for number plates, supplier of blank number plates, supplier of reflective sheeting for number plates, embosser of number plates, weighbridge facility or manufacturer of micro dots, or as the refusal of the CEO to issue an exemption permit in terms of Section 81.2. Clause 10 amends Section 7 by providing for the appointment of an inspectorate of MIBs, manufacturers of number plates, micro dots, and weighbridge facilities. Clause 11 amends Section 8 by providing for the prohibition of operating driving license testing centers, DLTCs, unless such a DLTC is registered and graded in terms of the Act. Clause 12 amends Section 8 capital A by providing for the process of application for operation of a driving license testing center. 13 amends Section 9 by providing for the grading of a license testing center. Clause 14 amends Section 8 of the Act by providing for that a provincial department or municipality shall not operate a driving a DLTC unless such testing center is registered and graded. Clause 15 amends the Act by inserting Section 11 capital A by providing for appointment of a person or persons or body of persons as a provincial inspectorate to conduct inspections and evaluations to ensure compliance with the Act. Further, it said to empower the minister to prescribe the powers and duties of the provincial inspectorate. Clause 16 amends Section 13 by providing for a new driving license to be known as a provisional driving license. Clause 17 amends Section 14, which provides for the authority of a license, the period of validity of the license, the limitations to which such authority shall extend, and the form and content of such license by adding a provisional license in subparagraph A. Clause 18 amends Section 15 by providing for the process of disqualification from obtaining or holding a learner's or driver's license, that is, physical defects and diseases likely to render him or her incapable of driving and controlling a motor vehicle. Clause 19 amends Section 16 by providing for the process of cancellation of a license submitted to the CEO of RTMC as a result of the disqualification. Clause 20 amends Section 17 to provide that an applicant for a learner's license who makes use of an unauthorized aid during a test for learner's license or is found in possession of an aid that may assist a person in answering a test for a learner's license shall be disqualified from reapplying for a learner's license for a period not exceeding 24 months from the date of such disqualification. The minister is empowered to make regulations regarding the due process that will be followed before a person is disqualified. Clause 21 amends Section 18 by providing that the holder of a learner's license who desires to obtain a driving license shall, after applying for a license to drive at an appropriately registered and graded driving license testing center, present him or herself to be examined, and that in the case where the DLTC can provide an appropriate motor vehicle, such a vehicle may be used for the test. Section 18 is further amended to prohibit the use of unauthorized aid during a test for a driving license that can assist a person in passing driving license test, and that such person shall be disqualified from reapplying for a period of 24 months. Further amendments to Section 18 that a license obtained in contravention of the above provision shall be deemed invalid. Further amendment to 18, further provides for the assenting of asserting the date of 1 May 2003 as the date on which a license which was valid before then shall, subject to subsections 6B, that is where a person was admitted to a medical facility or detained in any state institution, posted by a government on a foreign mission, or being a spouse of such a person or employed outside of the borders of the Republic, no longer deemed to be valid a driving license. Clause 23 amends Section 20 by providing for the ministerial powers to determine a date on which a license issued in terms of Section 57 of the Road Traffic Ordinance shall cease to exist. Clause 24 amends Section 23 by providing for the recognition of driving licenses issued in other countries which are contracting states to the Convention only. Clause 25 amends Section 25 by providing for the process of suspension or cancellation of a license, authorizing the driving of a motor vehicle where, amongst others, the holder of such license would constitute a source of danger to the public, or where a person, after being examined and tested, is found not to be competent to drive a motor vehicle of the class which he or she holds a license. Clause 27 amends Section 28 by prohibiting the employment of a person as an instructor or making use of any person's services, an instructor, unless that person is registered and graded as an instructor in terms of Section 28, capital B. Clause 28 amends the Act by inserting Section 28, capital A, by providing for the manner of application for registration as an instructor. Clause 29 amends Section 28B by prohibiting the registration of a person as an instructor unless he or she is employed by a registered and graded driving school. Also prohibiting the registration of a person as an instructor if he or she has been convicted of an offense listed in Schedule 1 or 2 of the Criminal Procedure Act, or if he was convicted or paid an admission of guilt fine for driving under the influence of liquor or drugs. Section 30 amends the Principal Act by inserting Sections 28, capital D, E, F, G, and H, prohibiting the operation of a driving license school unless such a school is registered and graded. It provides for the process of application for registration of a driving school, registration and grading of that driving school. It provides for the suspension or cancellation of the registration of the driving school and the appointment of Inspectorate of Driving Schools. So 31 amends Section 29 by providing for the process of cancellation of a learner's provisional or driving license or any document purporting to be such issued contrary to the Act. Clause 32 amends Section 30 by prohibiting the use of any other person's learner's provisional or driving license. Further, that no person shall present such license as his or her own. Clause 33 amends Section 31 by prohibiting the employment of any other person to drive a vehicle on a public road unless that person is licensed in accordance with the Act. Clause 34 amends Section 32 of the Act by prohibiting the operation on the public roads of a vehicle requiring a provisional driving license unless he or she keeps such a permit with him or her in the vehicle. Clause 35 amends Section 33 by providing that a person charged with an offense relating to driving of a motor vehicle or a failure to stop or report an accident, he or she shall produce every license and a permit which he or she is the holder or a duplicate thereof issued in terms of the Act to the court at the time of the hearing of the charge. Clause 36 amends Section 34 by providing that where a court has issued an order for the suspension or cancellation of a permit or disqualifying a person from obtaining a license or a permit, the registrar or clerk of the court shall notify the MEC who shall record such order in the register for driving license. Clause 37 amends Section 51, capital A, by providing for the extension of appeals procedure to the MIBs or importers. Clause 38 amends the Act by providing, by inserting Section 53, capital A, which provides for the delegation of powers conferred upon him or her or any person further, providing that such delegation shall not prevent the MEC from exercising that power or carrying out that duty himself or herself. Clause 39 amends Section 57 by providing authority to a PRASA or a person in its employment to display road traffic signs as they deem expedient. Further, it provides, it seeks to empower the MEC concerned to direct that any road traffic sign be so displayed or removed by a local authority or Transnet or CRASA. Clause 40 amends Section 58 by providing for the drivers of emergency vehicles driving such vehicles whilst on duty to do so with vehicles duly fitted with a siren and appropriate identification lamp, and to require that such vehicles shall, when approaching an intersection, stop and proceed only when it is safe to do so. Clause 41 amends Section 60 by allowing emergency vehicles, whilst being driven on duty, to exceed the applicable general speed limit, provided that such vehicle is fitted with a siren and appropriate identification lamp. Clause 42 amends the Act by providing for the newly established RIMS, Road Incident Management System for short, RIMS, which aims to streamline the response procedure and system in South Africa. Clause 43 amends Section 65 by prohibiting the use of alcohol by the drivers of motor vehicles on a public road. Clause 44 amends Section 75 by providing for the ministerial powers to make regulations in the Act and providing for the processes thereof. Clause 45 amends Section 76 by providing for the process of incorporation of standards, ECE regulations, or model regulations, which provides that any standard, ECE regulations, or model regulations is at any time after the incorporation thereof in the regulation, amended or replaced, that such standard, ECE regulation, or model regulation shall remain in force until such time that the minister, by notice in the Gazette, reincorporates the amended or replaced standard or ECE regulation or model regulation. Clause 46 amends Section 80 by providing that any person with a disability who has been exempted from the laws relating to parking in accordance with the laws of any province, and to whom proof of such exemption has been issued, shall be deemed to be so exempted from the applicable laws applicable in the area of jurisdiction of all local authorities. Clause 47 amends Section 81 by providing for the process of applying for an exemption for the manufacturing or import of a vehicle or operation of a motor vehicle which, due to such vehicle original design, cannot comply with the provisions of the Act. Clause 48 amends Section 85 by providing for the process of application to the Minister or the MEC for the issue of a document as proof of driving license. Clause 49 amends Section 93, capital A, by adding certain sections to the transitional provision. Chairperson, Section 50 is the short title commencement, which determines the date when the Act will come into force. Now, just a bit of history and to give a bit of a perspective to where this bill comes from. We deemed it prudent that we provide this slide addressing this point. Now, on that score, we want to say the following, that the bill was published for comments on 11 June 2009 under Gazette 32312. The Gazette at that stage did not have the proposed amendments to Section 65 in terms of the reduction to the blood or blood alcohol content, BAC, in the specimen of motor vehicle drivers. The bill only covered proposals to regulate driving schools. After publication, there was a need to then republish the bill with a view to amend Section 65 and prohibit the use of alcohol by vehicle drivers, otherwise referred to as drunken driving. The bill was then republished on the 18th of July under Gazette 35528 because of the need that at that time to start looking at the reduction of alcohol content in the blood and breath specimen of drivers due to rising road carnages caused by drunk driving in the country. Now, the Section 65 amendment was then introduced with an amendment to reduce the blood alcohol content in the blood specimen from 0.05 grams per 100 milliliters to a proposed 0.02 grams per 100 milliliters for professional drivers, and from 0.024 to 0.010 milligrams in breath specimen of general vehicle driver, and from 0.010 to 0.00 milligrams per 1,000 milliliters for professional drivers. Now, post the publication in 2012, Chairperson, we received comments and most of them were not in favor of the proposed reduction of the BAC, and sentiments expressed were that this proposal will not take the drunk driving issues forward. Now, some of the views expressed, Chairperson, were that perhaps a 0% blood alcohol content will be the best option. So from the consultations that we received, NPA was one of those parties that submitted comments, and it was led by Advocate Gisela. In a letter, and we want to quote the following, which is what she said. It is also not clear what the aim of the amendment is. There are practical implications on the court as well as on the forensic laboratories. If the proposed limit is an indication of zero tolerance, then the call should be for no alcohol in the blood or breath, close quote. Now, there were inputs that were received from a stakeholder referred to as alcohol breathalyzer CC, and their comment was as follows. I quote, where the limit has been at 0.05 grams per milliliter, the traditional arrogance of the South African driver has perpetuated itself. What the limit does is effectively authorize the driver to drink and provides leeway, which is often abused. Those quotes, Chairperson. Now, Section 65 was then introduced with an amendment to reduce the blood alcohol content in blood specimen from 0.05 grams per 100 milliliters to a proposed 0.02 milliliters for professional drivers, and from 0.02 to 0.10 milligrams in the breath specimen of general vehicle drivers, and from 0.010 to 0.00 milligrams per 1,000 milliliters for professional drivers. The bill was first published for comments on it. Now, this is a repeat, Chairperson. I'm sorry for that. Let me skip that slide. What follows, Chairperson, is then the bill was published for comments, and comments were received from, amongst others, Western Cape Department of Transport, KZN Department of Transport, NAMSA, the South African Catholic Bishops Conference Parliamentary Liaison Office, Mr. Albert Brooksma, Mr. Dale Hilbrand, Mr. Leon Lotter, Mr. Bruce Tackleton, Mr. Tishas Duplessis, Jivan Gibbs, Mr. Chris Joubert, Mr. Alistair Austin, Mr. Lungile Mashele, Association, Altasone Pool and Associates, Associate Atlas Logistics Solutions. In the process of legislative making, Chairperson, internally in the department, the bill will serve before the committees, and they include, amongst others, IPPP, which is referred to as the Interprovincial Policies and Procedures Working Group. That committee is made up of officials of the department and officials from the provincial departments of transport, the NRCS, SABS, RTMC, Business Against Crime, South African Police Services, SABRIC, and SABRIC, and the South African Banking Risk Information Center, SABRIC. The bill was also consulted with the driving school industry, amongst others, SATSOA. As a result, a driving school task team was formed to engage with driving schools around the proposed driving schools regulatory framework. The bill was then reviewed by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and it underwent the socio-economic impact process through the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation, It was also tabled at NEDLAC, and subsequently the bill was approved by cabinet. Now, Chairperson, we are trying to give a timeline, and you'll see the slides that follows. We're detailing the dates and the milestones that were reached insofar as the bill is concerned. Now, with this timeline, we're trying to say there was intervention made by the leader of government business, and by our minister made an intervention to the leader of government business to assist with the prioritization and fast tracking of this bill, and that it be included for discussion in the fourth term of the parliamentary program, and which is what has happened. And as we have it now, the bill is before the Portfolio Committee on Transport. Chairperson, in terms of the timeline, we are giving a detailed breakdown of the dates and the milestones that were reached. I'm not going to bore this committee with that detail, but it's important that same be noted. With your permission, I'm going to skip that slide, those slides, about three. And it then followed once the intervention was sought and it was introduced to Parliament. The draft bill was again published for comments by the Portfolio Committee. And it was republished again by the Portfolio Committee in October 2020, and it was republished again in January with the closing date of 20 January 2021. From the comments that the Portfolio Committee received, in our system, Chairperson, in our assessment, we deemed it prudent that there are certain themes that emerged, and those themes can be categorized into the following: 0% alcohol, fraud and corruption by traffic officers, lack of enforcement of existing provisions of the legislation, issues related to number plates and micro dots, that there is insufficient research on the proposed amendment to the alcohol content limit, that there are delays at the license testing centers. We've come to the end. Chairperson, you will note that there is an Annexure A which seeks to have the comments that were received from members of the public. I would humbly request that if maybe let me pause there, Chairperson, and try to establish whether there are inputs that would want to be made, or we go to Annexure A, which I believe is before the Secretariat, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Ngiyathokoza, ngiyalebuwa. Ngiyalebuwa, siyabonga. Ndolubuwa, enkosi, ngiyabonga. Thank you, Advocate. Let me check if members are in a position to give comments. Honorable members. Ubaba wakalisa. Ubaba Ulisa Umangu, followed by Honorable Chrisson Singer, followed by Honorable McDonald, and then followed by Honorable Pete May, in that order, please.
Chair, thank you very much, and good morning to you and colleagues. To the department, good morning. Mine is very simple, Chair. I join as you were already started. I don't know what our approach will be at the end because we've got more days to discuss. However, my specific question is, are we able to have a record of the entities, specifically government departments that were consulted by the department as presented by the good advocate there? And I'll tell you why I'm saying so. because in the subcommittee, the NRCS and the SABS told us they don't have a clue of this draft amendment. And the advocate is saying amongst the people they consulted were these two entities. So is it possible that we can have a record of government entities, not the public, government entities like the annex would list the public? Can we have a record of those? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jambas, Honorable Onsina.
Good morning, Chairperson, and everybody else on the platform. Chairperson, I have quite a number of questions on the particular clauses as we went through them now, and I also assume that we will go into those in great detail once we deal with them. In principle, I think there are some issues that we also have to deal with in terms of the direction or construction, in particular relating to the powers of managing regulations by the minister, which I just would want to ask your attention to so that we have a dedicated discussion on that, because it seems to be a little bit removed from the content of this bill, because to me it is something in principle rather than to be camouflaged as part of this particular traffic bill. So, Chairperson, if there is another opportunity then to look at the clauses, I would then hold back so that we talk about that. And then secondly, if you could please just make a note of the request from my side to have a discussion on the regulations in particular, then I'll appreciate it, and then we can move on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Onsina. Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Thank you for the presentation. I would like to add my voice to what Honorable Mani has raised. I would also be very interested in the consultations with the NRCS and the SABS, as those are some of the things that was highlighted in the subcommittee, Chairperson, through you. Also, Chairperson, there's a medical condition called auto-brewing syndrome or gut fermentation syndrome, when done a BAC will reflect that he's drunk, but he's not even had a single drop of alcohol. It's a medical condition that causes a person to have a high blood alcohol content due to fermentation of starches and sugars. And I think, Chairperson, when we get to the clauses, I think we will look at it. And then, Chairperson, I want to add that legislation does not reduce road deaths. It's about the act of enforcement. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Is your new look related in any way, Honorable McDonald, with the third wave?
Say again, Chairperson.
I'm saying, is your new look anyway related to the surge in terms of the third wave of this pandemic?
Yes, Chairperson.
Oh, okay. Advocate, you have something to say before I say what I want to say?
Okay. Thanks, Chairperson. No. There is no issue around the availing of proof as requested by Honorable Mani and amplified by Honorable McDonald, that we share the those records that we will gladly do. I assume, Chairperson, such proof will have to be submitted before end of business today, which we undertake to do. And on the issue of the request by Honorable Hunsinger to revisit the process and to discuss the regulations, the response there to is, I don't think that will be an issue, but then Chairperson, the regulations are not before the committee, and that's what I wanted to say insofar as that is concerned, but the dossiers are there, we can repeat them, unless I misunderstood the submission that Honorable Hunsinger made. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Hunsinger says, as we deliberate, we are still going to deliberate on this matter. I should note that at that point, there should be a discussion around the regulations, which I have noted, which I think as we deliberate as a committee will then touch upon the interest raised by Honorable Hunsinger. We will deliberate going forward. We still have time as a portfolio committee now. Otherwise, Advocate, you said you still had something to present. Am I correct? There is a hand there, or is a hand of, oh, I'm sorry, Honorable Pete May, you can forge ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've listened carefully, I've got no questions, but I need assistance. It's in connection of the driver's license, this center in Jobatina. It was closed by the manager, and I've mentioned in the previous meeting. What happened? I received complaints from the public. I went there, he said he received an email from the inspectorate in Port Elizabeth to close the place. So I went to Mr. Tyron Martin, and in my presence, he phoned both Mr. Fluers as well as Mr. Goodman, and he read the email in my presence. And it was clear that they must, because they're going to renovate the place, they must close it a day before they start with the renovations. It's already closed for about 2 months. I think it's very, very, what do you call it? We can't do that with the public, because the nearest place is George, it's about 140 kilos, and Utenek is about 140 kilos. What can I do, and who must I ask to assist me outside the Eastern Cape? Thank you very much.
Okay. Just remind me, Honorable May, to allow you an opportunity to formalize this properly before we close. It seems it's a serious matter in the area where you are living, so that we can process it properly and wait for a proper response. Thank you very much. I hope you have understood me in that regard.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you very much. Advocate.
Thanks, Chairperson. Okay. Insofar as the submission made by Honorable May, given the fact that Chairperson will also want to look into that, if it's possible, because we oversee the DLTCs, I would also like to be furnished with that information, so we also make a follow-up on our end as the department, with your permission, Chairperson.
We will gladly do that. I just wanted us to formalize it as the committee so that we can then submit to you and wait for a response. SAP, as the honorable member said, I appreciate your willingness, Advocate. I was giving you an opportunity because you have said there was something that you still need to present.
Thanks, Chairperson. You will recall that towards the closure of my presentation, we made reference to there being, as part of the publication by Parliament of the comments received, that there being a themes that came out from the inputs or submissions that were made by members of the public. So what we then did, Chairperson, is we shared an annexure with the portfolio committee, which we termed Annexure A, which captures the said comments and our responses thereto. So I was hoping that, I'm not so sure whether that document has been shared, and then maybe that's what we need to look at in terms of what has come through from members of the public, Chairperson. Thank you.
I have seen a document. Let me just revert back to Valerie to validate. I've seen a document in the emails here. Is that the document, Valerie?
Yes, Jay. It's a 280 slides document that outlines the submissions made and the department's responses on those.
Yeah. So we have the document. Advocate, you wanted to run through the document first? Advocate?
Thanks, Chairman. I was speaking as I had muted myself. Indeed, that's what has to happen, but then we'll go through them as they have come in, and I would ask that you grant me that indulgence, and if the secretary, if Ms. Carlson can flight them. Thanks, Chairperson.
Ms. Carlson?
You can share them.
Chair, I've previously indicated that I'm using my phone as a hotspot, and so I cannot really share because my connection is unstable. I've said it before. So Mr. Makato is the host. They have the presentation. So you can continue with that, Chair.
Mr. Makato, sir.
Okay. Okay, Chairperson. Let me look for it. I won't be that long. Maybe perhaps we can take a 2-minute break or so as I search for it.
Chair, Advocate Nell has offered to assist because she has a fiber connection. I will make her a co-host now so that we don't waste time, if that's in order with you.
That is in order with me. I can see the co-host, Advocate Nell. Let's move, Advocate. Thank you, Advocate. I know you always ready. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Jefferson. Okay. Thanks, Jefferson. Right. Advocate Nell, okay, thank you. Chairperson, the comment that we received, we'll start with Western Cape. The comment that we received from Western Cape as the department was that the bill introduces a significant number of interventions aimed at achieving good governance and improvement of standards in the different aspects of the road traffic environment. To this end, the bill addresses fraud and corruption in the examination of vehicles and seeks to regulate the driving school industry more effectively, such as an example. That these kind of interventions are a logical response to the current gaps in the NRTA and would appear to ultimately have a positive impact on road safety in general. Chairperson, we know that response, and indeed it is true and correct. That would be our response as department. The second input that they're making there is that in contradistinction to the approach adopted as described above, the proposal in clause 46 of the bill, which introduces a total prohibition on the use and consumption of alcohol by motor vehicle drivers on South African public roads is a major policy shift, which is sure to have detrimental effect on all spheres of government responsible for implementing the Act. Now, Chairperson, in terms of the issues related to the alcohol provisions, as the department, our intention is to deal with the contributory factor of driving a motor vehicle whilst a person is under the influence of alcohol, to the extent that alcohol plays a role in a number of accidents and fatalities on our public roads. And then in amplification of that, we make reference to the report commissioned by the RTMC and SAMRC, if my recollection is still correct, titled Driver Intoxication and Fatal Crashes Study, stated that. Chairperson. Next slide, advocate. Now, we go on further to say the proposal in clause 46 is to reduce the current alcohol limits stipulated in subsection 3, 5, and 6 of section 65 to zero alcohol content in the blood and breath specimen of motor vehicle drivers and the occupants of driver seats where the engine is running. As Western Cape government does not support the aforementioned proposal because there is sufficient evidence to support the proposition that reducing the blood and breath alcohol concentrations to zero would have a significant impact on road accidents or deaths, that the existing limits of 0.05 and 0.02 professional driver for professional drivers, if they were to consistently be applied and enforced, could still achieve a greatly reduced number of crash fatalities. The third reason, that low rates of driving under the influence of intoxicating liquor are not necessarily the result of stricter laws, and that zero tolerance legislation may not produce intended results, that there will be a great benefit in having more awareness and behavioral change campaigns to reduce incidences of drunken driving. Now, in the World Health Organization Global Strategy, it cites strong evidence in support of the low blood alcohol content, that is between and so that between 0.02 and 0.05. The same would go to WHO's safer initiatives. In Brazil, Chairperson, their law led to reductions in traffic injury and fatalities, and in state capital and the state and the capital of Sao Paulo, there's the reductions that they had as a result of that due to that enforcement, and we're citing that authority. Now, we're saying the implementation of 0.02 blood alcohol content in Sweden also reduced fatal crashes by 6%, and authority there is Nostrum. That in Japan, the blood alcohol level changed to 0.03 in 2002, and there were increased penalties. The rate of alcohol-related traffic fatalities per billion kilometers were driven, the kilometers driven decreased by 38% in the post-law period. And those are the authorities that we cited. Now, as a department, in our campaigns that we embark upon, anchored on the 365 action agenda, there are awareness programs that we embark upon, Chairperson, wherein we highlight issues related to, amongst others, driving under driving whilst intoxicated or driving whilst under the influence. Now, the other point that Western Cape made is that there is no room in the bill to distinguish between a person whose blood or breath alcohol concentration is higher than zero as a result of taking medication. And they are saying, for example, cough medicine in safe doses. And that a person who will, that such a person will be regarded as driving under under the influence of intoxicating liquor. Further thereto, they say the following. In practice, more people will simply exercise their right to refuse to interact with police officials at roadblocks. And if a driver refuses to be screened, the official must rely on the observation of the driver's behavior to obtain evidence to compel blood and breath alcohol evidentiary testing. The proposal runs contrary to leading research on this issue, and that our attention is drawn in more detail to the comments they made on clause 46 below. Now they further say, given the serious matter raised above, the portfolio committee is urged to reflect on the suggestions in these comments with a view to interrogating, reconsidering, and reviewing the total prohibition on the use and consumption of alcohol by all motor vehicle drivers on public roads, contrary to the leading research in this area. Now, Chairperson, as our response, and which is something that is common out there, a lot of cough medication, Chairperson, there are warning leaflets that advises members of the public against consumption of the said medication if same one will be operating a motor vehicle or a machinery post the consumption of such medication. So it is thus ideal that a person who has consumed such medication will be best advised to take a rest in order to let the effect of such medication subside. So that being said, a lot of medication causes drowsiness and thus constitute a danger to the driver, either to himself or herself and members of the public. Next slide. We further say the comment by Western Cape that in practice, more people will simply exercise their right to refuse to interact with police officials at roadblocks is with due respect, inaccurate and a bit flawed, because already Section 3J of the Principal Act, which is the bill that we 7 seeks to amend, provides as follows, Chairperson, that no person shall A, fail to comply with any instruction or direction given to him or her by an inspector of licenses, traffic officer or examiner of vehicles, or obstruct, hinder, or interfere with any inspector of licenses, traffic officer or examiner of vehicles in the exercise of any power or the performance of any duty in terms of the act. The sub B to that it says no person shall fail to comply with any instruction or direction given to him or her by a peace officer, or obstruct, hinder, or interfere with any peace officer in the exercise of any power relating to a provision of this act assigned to him or her in terms of Section 334 of the Criminal Procedure. Next slide. We further say, the department in facilitating law enforcement of alcohol-related violence violations, we've published and the incorporation of Regulation 332 amending the National Road Traffic Act. Now, what we seek to address there is issues related to evidentiary breath alcohol testing, EBED for short. Chairperson, you see further in our submissions that there is a Western Cape decision which necessitated the need to effect amendments to the said regulation. And yeah, the matter is receiving attention. However, it suffices to say the following. It remains important that drivers holding professional driving permits should not have alcohol in their blood specimen, Chairperson. And further thereto that we are implementing, or we're seeking to implement the 24/7 law enforcement, which we believe will improve law enforcement within the entire road traffic fraternity. Chairperson, you will see further in our submissions that this is work in progress, because we're trying to get concurrences of, amongst others, the MECs, the provincial legislatures, so that road traffic law enforcement should be a 24-hour event, not that somebody starts from 8 and knock off at 5, because we then know that post certain times, there are no traffic officers on the road. So that is something that we seek to achieve. And engagements are underway, which have been led by the department and the RTMC to assist provinces that would that they be asked to come on board with regard to this traffic law enforcement. Now, there is what we term a National Traffic Law Enforcement Code, which Chairperson, again, DOT and RTMC collaborating on this, which will assist in ensuring that implementation of law enforcement is directed towards a specific outcome of, amongst others, reducing road fatalities. Next slide. Chairperson, in amplifying the point that we made with regard to the reduction to 0.00, this is the report I made reference to earlier on. According to this report, the following needs to be noted: that drunken driving accounts for 27.1% of fatal crashes in our country, and that 55% of those crashes happen at night, and about 3 out of 5 happen over the weekend. The estimated cost to the economy because of drunken driving, this information can be updated, but at that time, it's set at 18.2 billion annually. And that an investigation on mortuary data from 2007 to 2012 indicated that drivers were the largest proportion of foot traffic crash victims with a positive blood alcohol content of 60.4%, followed by pedestrians with at 55.6% and motorcyclists at 55%. Next slide, Advocate. And then there were comments that through Parliament were made by GSA. Now, those comments are split into two. There are those chairperson that are saying they are not in support, and that there are those that are saying they are in support of the BAC. So this is what those that are not in support said, Chairperson. They are saying the current legislation is sufficient, but requires improvement on enforcement of this legislation. That public transport has also been identified as an area that requires urgent attention, and that prosecution of any drivers that are not adhering to the laws is something that needs to happen. And they, based on the fact that it could result in an increase of unfair prosecution without solving the issue of drunken driving. They further said corruption and bribery arise amongst traffic officers, and this legislation could further perpetuate this problem. They also alluded to the following, that some medication which contains alcohol will result in a positive test for alcohol on a test kit. That certain blood types, certain types of food contain a small percentage of alcohol, and that the percentage of alcohol consumed as a result change service. Now, again, Chairperson, and some of the comments you'll see that we are being repetitive, it's because the comments that are come through are almost similar. Hence, earlier on, one alluded to there being a theme. Now, our response to this point on blood alcohol content, Chairperson, is as follows. That our intention is to deal with the contributory factor of driving a motor vehicle whilst under the influence of alcohol, to the extent that such plays a role in the number of accidents and fatalities on our roads. Right, again, we cite that report, and then we make reference to the proposed amendments that we are seeking to introduce as per regulation 332 and 332 capital A of the NRTA. Chairperson, as I said, there were the views amongst those under the input coordinated by DS South Africa, there were those that were in support, and this is what they had to say. Alcohol-related road traffic deaths are at an acceptable level in South Africa. Important particularly that for all public transport operators, buses, trains, etc., but also private cars, trucks, commercial small vehicles. Many innocent people have had their lives taken by drunk drivers. It has to be a fair law for everybody and upheld. More in-depth detail is required for the proposed enforcement procedure for this piece of legislation. And the penalty for calling 0% alcohol level should be a minimum of 6 months in jail, and that license be suspended for a year. If the penalty is not severe, it will not do the job of stopping people drinking and driving. Now, we go on to say the following, that we know that, and it is however important that drivers, you know, holding a PRDP should not have alcohol in their blood specimen. And further, that the implementation of 24/7 law enforcement indeed will go a long way in improving law enforcement within the road traffic environment. The same would go to the National Road Traffic Law Enforcement. Like I said, these are measures that we're trying to put in place, and with that, we believe we can address not only they'll amplify the issue of drunken driving, but that there will be visible policing throughout. And then as DOT, naturally, we would welcome such a comment. And I think, yeah, this might have been aligned. There is an issue there, but then it doesn't correspond in terms of that. Advocate, sorry, move on to the next slide. Okay, there were inputs by Western Cape. Yes, this is correct. They are saying on clause one that the proposed definition of bodybuilder differs from the one in the regulations. As a response from the department, we are saying we accept that, and that our view is that one of the definitions will be deleted because the bodybuilder has already been defined in the regulations. For what it's worth, Chairperson, one was not being tricky, but it behoves the portfolio committee to propose such an amendment if they see that anomaly. But as a department, we accept that suggested deletion. And they are saying further, as the National Department of Transport will appoint microdot manufacturers who are in turn responsible for the fitment center, it is suggested that the regulations be amended to refer to department and not MEC, as the provisions will not be in, as the provinces will not be involved in the appointment of microdot manufacturers. We accept that, and then we say the following as a response. Regulation 51 capital A in the regulation provides as follows. No person shall manufacture, import, sell or distribute microdots unless he or she is approved by the department to manufacture, import, sell or distribute microdots and is registered as such in the register of manufacturers of microdots. Next slide. Plus, the comment from Western Cape was that the proposed definition of NATIS officer in subclause 1N differs from the definition of NATIS officer in the National Road Traffic Regulation. Therefore, they are proposing that for purposes of consistency and in order to provide clarity and certainty, one definition for NATIS officer be adopted in the amendment. We accept that and then we say, because NATIS officer is already defined in the regulations, again, one of those definitions must fall by the wayside because one word cannot be defined twice. Western Cape goes on to say the following, that the proposed definition of pedal cycle in subclause 1P is supported. However, the definition is problematic and requires redrafting. So, it is recommended that pedal cycle be amended to read as follows, that pedal cycle means A, any bicycle or tricycle designed for propulsion solely by means of human power, or B, any bicycle or tricycle with operable pedals and an electric motor providing a maximum net power of 250 watts. Which electric motor is not capable of propelling the bicycle or tricycle unassisted at a speed exceeding 25 kilometers per hour on a level surface. In our response, we said we accept that to the extent that it limits the maximum speed to 25 kilometers per hour, and also that in the proposed bill, a further amendment was done to introduce the maximum weight of the pedal cycle that the definition must not end up slightly encroaching onto the terrain of motorbikes. That the reference to 250 watts.
Recording stopped.
Also not included.
Recording in progress.
Okay. Sorry, Chairperson, there was a voice in the background. A reference to 250 watts also not included to clearly make it clear that the definition only refers to pedal cycle. Next slide. The comment received from Western Cape was that words of a motor vehicle, the words of a motor vehicle, those quotes, must be inserted after words, quote, allocated license number, close quote, in the definition of quote suppliers of blank number plates, close quote, and quote suppliers of reflective sheeting, close quote. The amendment is required as a motor trade number is not allocated to any specific vehicle, but is merely used by a motor dealer whilst the vehicle is awaiting registration and licensing. We accept that proposal and then maybe the portfolio committee would be prudent to include that. Next slide. Their comment is on clause 4. They are saying the following, subclause 4A prohibits an examiner of vehicles from registration if he or she has or acquires a direct or indirect financial interest in the manufacturing, selling, rebuilding, repairing or modifying of motor vehicles, or where he or she acquires the financial interest through his or her spouse or partner. It is not clear why an examiner of vehicle, spouse or partner is included in subclause 4A, but not in subclause 4C. Subclauses 4A and C both prohibit the acquisition of financial interest. The prohibition should apply in both instances. We propose the acceptance thereof, that the prohibition was raised with a view to prevent possible conflict of interest. Again, this is something that would have to be effected when the portfolio committee considers that. Thanks. Next slide. On clause 6, they're saying in subclause 6C, it is determined that the minister may prescribe the nature and extent of a road transport service business. It is unclear why, say, the same determination is not included in subclause 4C, where a road transport service business is mentioned. Now, in order to eliminate any interpretational difficulties, it is recommended that this matter be clarified before the enactment of the amendment bill. Noted. It's within the portfolio committee's power to either effect, but same, we deemed it prudent that it will be clarified that the proposed amendment was meant to streamline and augment the processes of suspension, cancellation of registration of an officer who is found to have contravened these conditions whilst already an examiner for driving licenses or an examiner of vehicles. Next slide. In clause 6, C and H, sections 3E1 and sub H, the word examiner of driving license must be replaced with examiner of driving licenses. That is accepted, and then if the portfolio committee agrees to that, then it will read as follows: the examiner of driving licenses holds or acquires a direct or indirect financial or other related interest in any driving school or in the training, instruction or supervision of learner drivers, the nature and extent of which may be prescribed by the minister. In clause 7, they are saying the following, that it stipulates that a training center may, on the prescribed conditions, be approved, registered, and graded to deliver qualifications for traffic officers, examiners for driving licenses, and examiners of vehicles, or a combination thereof. Now, for the reasons set out above, in paragraph 15, it is recommended that traffic wardens be added to the list. We accept that, and that the sub clauses will be amended to include traffic wardens. Next slide. Clause 9, inserting sections 5J to 5L of the NRTA. They are saying it is unclear from the text of the amendment bill whether the national or provincial department will be responsible for the registration of manufacturers of microdots. The use of the word department in clause 9, sections 5J to 5L, as opposed to the use of the term MEC, appears to indicate that national department will be responsible for the function of the registration of manufacturers of microdots. It is noted that if the national department is to be responsible for the registration of manufacturers of microdots, this will be inconsistent with the current legislative framework, in terms of which provincial department is responsible for the analogous function of the registration of manufacturers of motor vehicles and manufacturers of number plates. If it is intended that the provincial department will be responsible for this additional registration function, then it must be clarified in order to ensure that the necessary resources are available. They are of the view that this function should resort to the province. That is accepted, and that the Section 5 J2L will refer to the MEC consent to make sure that the function resides with the provinces and the MEC. And again, this will be up to the portfolio committee to effect such, but then it must be reflected as such insofar as the processing is concerned of this bill. Clause 10, the word blank must be inserted in front of the word number plates in the heading of Section 7 so that it is consistent with the proposed definition of manufacturer of blank number plates in Clause 1J of the Amendment Act. Our response thereto is that the Inspectorate of Number Plate is not only going to inspect the manufacturers of blank number plates. It is envisaged that all form of that all of them will be inspected. Changing the heading may mean that the inspectorate will only be allowed to inspect the manufacturers of blank number plates only. Clause 10, they say the following, furthermore, the word microdot is used in isolation of the heading of Section 7. So they are proposing that the word microdot be preceded by the words manufacturer of, and that such an amendment will be in line with the definition of manufacturer of microdot and the remainder of the amendment. We know that, but then we do not agree with that, and we advance the following reason, that already the inclusion of the word manufacturer of in the heading of the amendment of Section 7 in Clause 13 shows that the words following it should be read together with the words, and thus the intention is to make the inspectorate to be responsible for inspecting all those mentioned therein. Next slide. Clause 43, there is no scientific evidence to show that if the existing acceptable levels of alcohol consumption are further reduced, that road safety will improve, coupled with a decline in the number of road crashes. Practicality of policing and prosecuting the proposed zero alcohol levels may also be jeopardized by the fact that certain food and medicine contain alcohol, and the fact that trace amounts of alcohol may still be in the blood specimen stream the morning after a night out of drinking. Request for a formal regulatory impact assessment before legislating. Although, Chairperson, this is not part of our response, but I want to say that in the slide that I started with, we said that the bill went through the CS impact assessment, and it's something that we did, Chairperson. So it had undergone that process of regulatory impact assessment. But then our response is such that we again place reliance on the research by RTMC and the Medical Research Foundation on driver intoxication and fatal crashes. And we repeat the comments that we've been making insofar as the issue of reduction of blood alcohol content is concerned. Now, we also say that alcohol impairs the driving performance in low quantities, and research indicate that there is no blood alcohol content threshold below to which some degree of impairment does not occur. Alcohol in whatever concentration is therefore not reported to impair driving performance and thus increase the probability of a traffic collision. Next slide. Clause 43, should the O level alcohol limit be introduced, one will find that the majority of alcohol-related offenses will be of a minor nature. The law enforcement resources will be burdened with the huge influx of drunken driving cases, which will fall into the lower categories of alcohol or breath levels. Drivers who are actually intoxicated will have a greater chance of going undetected, as traffic officers will be busy with frivolous cases. Now, as our response, we note that, but then we say the following, that there shouldn't be any differentiation with regard to enforcement of this provision regarding the bad alcohol content, which is above the set limit, and that all contraventions must be treated the same, whether the person is either extremely over the limit or slightly above. The test is whether the person is above the said blood alcohol limit or not. Then we received comments from Department of Transport KZN. And this is what came through. Emergency medical, under definitions, emergency medical response vehicles definition must be read as follows. Quote, means a vehicle operated by or transporting a medical professional responding to a medical emergency, close quote. We do not agree with that, and that we're saying the proposed insertion of the definition has been discontinued, and instead a new definition of medical response vehicle has been introduced, which reads, it means a motor vehicle owned by an emergency medical service as contemplated in the Emergency Medical Service Regulations of 2016 as amended and registered as a medical response vehicle in terms of that. And they further say the following, that the supplier of blank number plates, that this definition is debatable, and as a quote, manufacturer of number plates, close quotes, also supplies blank number plates as the manufacturer would supply it to someone else to sell. And that in essence, it could be that one and the same body manufacturing and supplying blank number plates. We agree, and that it may be the same institution, but that however, the manufacturer of blank number plates only manufactures blank number plates, and the supplier only supplies blank number plates. That their roles are clearly defined as per the definition. Next slide. Emergency services, that this definition refers to authorized officers. It is suggested that the term authorized officer is too broad, as it includes officers who are not deemed to be part of emergency services, that is, vehicle and driving license examiners. Our response there to is that saying is not supported, and that the proposed definition is exactly the same as the one in the road incident management policy, which informs the introduction of this definition into the National Road Traffic Act. The second point they made there is that incident changed the word, quote, sustained, and close quotes, to the words prolonged. We noted that, and that, you know, as a response, the synonym of the word sustained as used in this definition includes continued, constant, continual, continuous, non-stop, unrelenting, and unremitting. However, suffice it to say that same should be considered and effected. Next slide. Next comment is that inspectorate of driving schools, that reference to section 28G is incorrect. It should be 28H. That we accept Chairperson's suggestion, an error. And again, it's up to the portfolio committee when it cleans up the bill to correct that. Point two, that the inspectorate of way bridges facilities reference is made to section 7B. It should read that is incomplete. But all the same, that we accept that, and then it should be deleted. Bullet three, the reference to instructor is made to section 26B. It should read section 28. We accept that, and same should be effected. Four, motor vehicle, the addition of Roman figure three is confusing. How will this code speed be enforced? This definition requires clarification. What kind of a vehicle is this? The definition of pedal cycle and its number three is confusing. Noted, and then we accept that, but then the intention was to exclude pedal cycles with a maximum design of 45 kilometers per hour from the definition of a motor vehicle, thus effectively restricting all pedal cycles to their own category, which is L vehicles. Then they go to say the following. It is proposed that reference to 25 kilometers per hour be consistent with the speed mentioned in the definition of a motor vehicle. And we're saying there, well, something that needs to be considered for possible amendment from 45 kilometers per hour on the pedal cycle to 25. Next slide. The comment is that reserve traffic warden should include the appointment of such a reserve traffic warden by a local authority. Our response thereto is that same should be considered for possible incorporation in terms of section 3, capital A, 1, A and B, and that the CEO and the MEC may appoint such person as inspectors of licenses, examiners of vehicles, examiners of driving licenses, traffic officers, and traffic wardens. And the local authority has not been apportioned the powers to appoint traffic wardens. And we're saying for this proposal to be achieved, section 3.1c must be amended to be able to properly accord local authorities that action. And the next point, the input they make is that the supplier of reflective sheeting, and that the same argument applied as mentioned in paragraph 10 above Chairperson would be the slides that they made reference to earlier on. They're saying that is not supported, and that the manufacturer of blank number plates only manufactures blank number plates, and the supplier only supplies blank number plates, and that their roles have been clearly defined as per the definition. Next slide. insofar as section 4 is concerned, they are saying the following. The section 3C of the Principal Act should be amended by adding an examiner of vehicles. We do not share the same view, and as a reason we are saying the following, that the provision for examiners of motor vehicles is already provided for in section 3C2(a), which prohibits their registration as examiners of motor vehicles if they acquire a direct or indirect financial interest in the manufacturing, selling, rebuilding,
repairing or modification or modifying of motor vehicles, modifying of motor vehicles. Section 3L, and it makes reference to, quote, a person, delivering authorized officer qualification. This is also mentioned in Section 3M and implies that a private person may train traffic officers, driving license examiners, and vehicle examiners. The KZN Department of Transport does not support this amendment, and it is proposed that where reference is made to no person in Section 3L and M, same be removed. That input is accepted. Next slide. Clause 46, section 65, there's on section 65, that is on the blood alcohol content. The KZN Department of Transport does not support this proposal. It is recommended that the status quo remain and that should the O-level alcohol limit be introduced, one will find that the majority of alcohol-related offenses will be of a minor nature, that law enforcement resources will be burdened with the impact of drunken driving cases, which will fall into the lower categories of alcohol breath levels. The drivers who are actually intoxicated will have a greater chance of going undetected as traffic officers will be busy with frivolous cases, and that this amendment requires an in-depth debate. Chairperson, again, like I earlier on said, you'll pardon us making reference to submissions which, as part of our response, would seem to be repetitive. We're citing that report in amplification, and that it stands to reason, Chairperson, that insofar as whether the BAC level goes to zero or not, or it remains, it's something that is within the authority of Parliament, and for that reason the bill is in the capable hands of this portfolio committee. Right, all we're saying there is that alcohol is considered to impair driving performance even in low quantities, and that research indicates that there is no blood alcohol content threshold below to which some degree of impairment does not occur. Alcohol in whatever concentration is therefore reported to impair driving performance. Next slide. Then we come to the comments by the South African Catholic Bishops Association. Chairperson, may I say, if at all, maybe there is a comment or something that wants to be said, I'd be told to stop as I'm not paying attention to the participants and anyone that might be raising their hand. Okay, the South African Catholic Bishop Association made comments, and they said the following. Removal of all reference to graduated concentrations of alcohol permitted for the safe operation of motor vehicle is wrong at this point in time. It's unfair, it is misdirected, and have the effect of criminalizing ordinary people. Before anyone asks for a reduction in the present legal alcohol limit, maybe there should be a drive to employ more law enforcement officers. Again, we hold a different view, and we say the following. South Africa has a high percentage of road deaths daily, and that various contributing factors are responsible for that, and that various initiatives are needed to stem them, to stem the tide and reverse the effects thereof, including this proposal. Law enforcement enhancement is but one of the initiatives. Now, Chairperson, as I said to earlier on,
there is 24/7 and the National Traffic Law Enforcement Code work, which is in progress, with a view to have traffic officers working 24/7. So proposal of this amendment, surely indeed there would be an issue of enforcing, but then those are mechanisms that we are trying to put in place to address this. And that, according to the report done by the RTMC in collaboration with South African Medical Research Council Chairperson, drunken driving accounts for 27.1% of fatal crashes in our country, and that 55% of those fatal crashes happen at night, and that 3 out of 5, they happen over the weekend. Again, the estimated cost to the economy because of drunken driving sits at 80.2 billion annually. Again, Chairperson, it could be more. And that investigation on the mortuary data from 2007 to 2012 has directed that drivers were the largest proportion of crash victims with a positive BAC percent of 60.4, followed by pedestrians at 55.6 and motorcycles at 55%. Next slide. Then comments came in from Mr. Brooksma. He's saying the following: it is my understanding that the current backlog of blood alcohol measurement exceeds 60,000. This value can be expected to balloon even further when moving to a zero limit. It is not difficult to imagine the prosecution backlog that would result from this situation. And that also the prosecution of really serious alcohol-related cases would be diluted or even lost in a proliferation of criminalizing non-dangerous people who may have had a sip or a cough syrup, a rinse of mouthwash, or a medicinal amount of Jamaica ginger for stomach cramps. Other than incorporating the comments insofar as the research by RTMC and South African Medical Research Council, we still state that South Africa has a high percentage of road deaths, and that various factors contribute. There are various contributing factors which are responsible for that, and the need is that on our part we need to stem this tide and reverse the effects thereof. We also cite the 2015 WHO report, World Health Organization report that found that South Africa has the highest prevalence of road deaths associated with alcohol, and that a lot of people who die on our roads have a blood alcohol level above the legal and current BAC of 0.05 per 100 milliliters. Next slide. An input from the Department of Health, they are saying the following: the bill defines, quote, emergency medical response vehicle, close quote, as a vehicle operated by or transporting a medical professional to respond to a medical emergency. This leaves it open to abuse as any vehicle responding to medical emergencies with a trained medical professional like is presently occurring with the tow trucks responding to scenes with a medical professional on board. And that this should be defined this should be defined as follows. Quote, a medical emergency response vehicle means a vehicle approved and registered by the Department of Health as an emergency medical response vehicle, and is operated by appropriately registered personnel with Health Professional Council of South Africa as emergency medical care providers. The definition has been removed from the bill, and the definition of emergency vehicle is contained in the Act. That's our response. Then we got comments came from Alta Sonnenbühl and Associates, and they are proposing the following: that the amendment of Section 3L of the Act, as inserted by Section 2 of Act 21 of 1999. Section 3I of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the addition of the following paragraphs. Open quotes, if he or she is satisfied on reasonable grounds and subject to verification by traffic officer that a motor vehicle, one, was in the past issued with a notice to discontinue operation in terms of Section 44(1), and such notice was complied with, that, two, is being operated on a public road by a driver who is not a holder of a valid driving license. Three, is being operated on a public road by a driver who is not the holder of a valid professional driving permit. Or four, is being operated by a person without the necessary operating license or permit, or contrary to the conditions thereof, may impound the vehicle pending the investigation and prosecution of that person for an offense in terms of any applicable law. So the part underlined proposes an insertion, and it says the officer must deal with the impounded motor vehicle as determined by sections 30 to 36 of the Criminal Procedure Act 51 as applicable. And we are agreeing with that insertion, Chairperson. Next slide. Under definitions, the definition of instructor does not define who an instructor is. And that Section 28, capital B, does not indicate any criteria for an instructor. And she's making reference there to the existing definition of an instructor, and that the following is suggested. One, by the substitution for the definition of instructor with the following definition. One, that instructor means any person who, for direct or indirect reward, A, instructs any other person in the driving of a motor vehicle, or B, teaches any other person the rules of the road, the road traffic signs, or any other in order to obtain a learner's provisional driving license, or a professional driving permit. So we propose the acceptance thereof, Chairperson. Next slide. public road. The proposal there is that if the committee decides the ruling of the Mount Edgecombe case is accepted, it is advisable to amend the definition of public roads as follows. That public roads means any road, street, or thoroughfare, or any other place, whether a thoroughfare or not, which is one, A, commonly used by the public or any section thereof, or B, the public or any section thereof has a right of access and includes one, the verge of any such road, street, or thoroughfare. Two, any bridge, ferry, or drift traversed by any such road, street, or thoroughfare. And three, any other work or object forming part of or connected with or belonging to such road, street, or thoroughfare, but does not include roads inside a residential estate or other area with the prescribed methods of access control. We are proposing the acceptance there of Chairperson. Next slide. And that if the decision of the Imbele case is accepted, the definition of public road should be amended to read as follows. Public road means any road, street or thoroughfare or any other place, whether a thoroughfare or not, which is A, commonly used by the public or any other section thereof, or B, the public or any other section thereof has a right of access and includes one, the verge of any such road, street or thoroughfare. Two, any bridge, ferry or drift traversed by any such road, street or thoroughfare. And three, any other work or object forming part of or connected with or belonging to such road, street or thoroughfare, and includes road inside a residential estate or other area with the prescribed methods of access control. We propose the acceptance of that definition, Chairperson. Next slide. And that pedal cycles, that it means a bicycle or tricycle designed for propulsion solely by means of human power, or B, like I said, Wales proposed suggest insertion, a power assisted pedal cycle as contemplated in subparagraph Roman figure 3 of the definition of motor vehicle. Both of those, we accept them. And that motor vehicle means any sort of self-propelled vehicle and includes A, trailer, and B, a power-assisted pedal cycle, except for a power-assisted pedal cycle contemplated in subparagraph 3. And that vehicle having pedals, an engine or an electric motor as an integral part thereof or attached thereto, and which is designed or adopted to be propelled by means of such a pedal cycle, such pedals, engine or electric motor, or both, such pedal or engine or electric motor, but does not include any vehicle propelled by electrical power derived from storage batteries and which is controlled by a pedestrian. Like I said, we've accepted that, Chairperson. And then, yeah, next slide. any vehicle with a mass not exceeding 230 kilograms and specifically designed and constructed and not merely adapted for use of any person suffering from physical defect or disability and used solely for such purposes. Three, a power assisted pedal cycle having pedals and an engine or an electrical motor as an integral part thereof, with a maximum mass of 30 kilograms and a design speed not exceeding 25 kilometers per hour. That complies with the prescribed requirements for power assisted pedals, or for a vehicle that has a maximum design speed of 45 kilometers per hour. That complies with the prescribed requirements for environmentally friendly vehicles. We propose acceptance of those comments, Chairperson. Next slide. Section 8 refers to a municipality, and Section 8 capital A refers to a registering authority. Consistent wording is suggested. Section 1 contains a definition for local authority, but none for a municipality. The term municipality is not used in the existing NRTA. Quote, local authority means a transitional metropolitan substructure, transitional local council or local government body contemplated in section 1, subsection 1 of the Local Government Transitions Act 93, Act 2009 of 1993. Quote, eight driving license testing, we've accepted that, and that driving license testing centers to be registered, a provincial department responsible for transport or a municipality registering authority shall not operate a driving license testing center unless such driving license testing center is registered and graded in terms of the Act. That the amendment of Section 8, capital A of Act 93 of 96, as inserted by Section 6 of Act 21 of 99, and amended by Section 5 of 64 of 2008. Like I said, Chairperson, that is accepted. They are proposing the amendment of Section 8A as follows, that one, any Department of State or registering authority, any provincial department responsible for transport or registering authority desiring to operate a driving license testing center shall in the prescribed manner apply to the Inspectorate of Driving License Testing Centers for approval and the registration of such testing center. Three, she's proposing a repeal of the words in brackets, chapters, no department of state, that it be amended to read, a provincial department responsible for transport or a registering authority shall not operate a driving license testing center unless such testing center is registered and graded in accordance with this act. And that we accept.
Advocate.
Chairperson.
I don't know if you need to refill your energy, but the 45 kilometers per hour speed that you are traveling with may actually suggest that you need two additional days. And according to my program, I would wish you to try and conclude around 10 past 12 for members' comments, and I don't see that happening unless you go to direct issues and department response so that we can move a bit faster. I was suggesting that you fill up your petrol and so that we can try and increase the speed.
Okay, so, okay, sir.
Yeah.
We take what? A break?
No. We don't take a break.
I just...
The break will make it worse.
Okay, so Chairperson, if I understand...
Yeah.
If I understand quite well, I don't have to go through the comments as made by members of the public are noted, and it's submissions that were made to Parliament, and should I look at whether we agree with them or not?
I think so, sir, because I've gone through this document. You are still very far.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's up here. Okay, no, it's fine, Chairperson. I can do that.
Thank you very much, Advocate, for understanding.
Okay, no, thanks, Chairperson. Sorry if I was delaying.
No. You are not delaying.
Okay.
I'm just looking at the time and the destination and the distance we still need to cover.
Okay. Okay. Next, thanks for that guidance, Chairperson. Insofar as the proposal to section 8 capital A of the Principal Act is proposed, we are accepting that, Chairperson. Next slide. They are proposing amendments to section 20 of Act 93 of 26, and where I say there's an insertion that she's making there, we accept that. Clause 28, the proposal made there is accepted. Next slide. The proposal there on clause 28, we accept that. Is accepted. Next slide. Section 35 on conviction of certain offences, license and permits shall be suspended for a minimum period, and learners or driving license may not be obtained. We know that response, and that same should be considered for incorporation. However, the word general we propose should be retained as it is. What I was saying that is that NRTA makes reference to general speed limit as provided for in section 59 of the Act, and they are prescribed in regulation 292 as 60 kilometers in the urban area, 100 kilometers on every public road other than a freeway situated outside an urban area, and 120 kilos in respect of every freeway. That there is a possibility of actually creating confusion if reference to general speed limit is removed. Next slide. Our response to the proposal there is that we know that, and maybe same should be considered for incorporation. And we say it's common cause that subsections 1, 2, or 5 of section 65 refers to blood alcohol content in the blood or breath specimen of vehicle drivers. And moreover, the suggested amendment still refers to the current blood alcohol content in the Act, which in terms of this bill proposes to be dealt away with. Next slide. On the power to make regulations, the input on regulations 272A and 2E, we're saying section 75(1)(ZA)(2) already provides for the minister's power to make regulations for any matter for which the Act does not, in the minister's opinion, make provision or enough provision. Owing to completeness sake and elimination of any doubt regarding interpretation, the proposal may be considered for inclusion, and that regulation 272(2)(E) not being enforced is not because of the lack of minister's power to make regulations, but because there is currently no efficient and safe truck stops and resting places with hygiene compliant facilities in place. Then she goes on to say, if the amendment of definition of motor vehicle is supported, the provision needs to be added to allow for environmentally friendly vehicles to be regulated. The comments as made in the previous slides are specifically incorporated here in that would constitute our response. The substitution for section 80 is that we accept. We propose for acceptance. Next slide. And then we have AGB's made presentations. They dealt with the 0.0% blood alcohol level or limit. And our response there to Chairperson is that South Africa has a high percentage of road deaths daily, and that there are various contributing factors that are responsible for that, and that
various initiatives are needed to stem the tide and reverse the effects thereof, including this proposal, and that law enforcement is one of those initiatives, and both the MEC and local authorities are in terms of Section 3 of the NRTA responsible for that, and they are performing that part sufficiently. Then we say, according to a report done by RTMC in collaboration with SAMRC, it indicates that drunk driving accounts for 27.1% of fatal crashes in the country, and that 55% of those crashes happen at night, and about 3 out of 5 happen over the weekends. The estimated cost to the economy because of drunk driving sits at 18.2 billion. Like I said, Chairperson, earlier on, that number would have changed given the period when that report was done. An investigation of mutual data from 2007 to 2012 has indicated that drivers were the largest proportion of road traffic crashes victims, with a positive blood alcohol content of 60.4%, followed by pedestrians at 55.6%, and motorcyclists at 55%. Moreover, the proposed amendment to Section 65 does not in any way propose to prohibit the manufacturing, sale, distribution, or consumption of alcohol, because that is not our mandate as the department. Next slide. Department, we're looking at increasing the law enforcement capacity by implementing that 24/7 law enforcement coupled with the National Traffic Law Enforcement Code, and that we make enforcement a 24/7 event, not something that somebody starts off at 8 and knocks off at 5 and it's for all the after. Next slide. Okay. Insofar as the AGDIS inputs are concerned, they lamented the resources to address this issue of blood alcohol content. Chairperson, I may as well state to this committee that we've also held consultations with the National Department of Health, and we know that in the country there are 4 forensic laboratories. And as part of our submissions in response, we are saying the following. According to the Department of Health Forensic Pathology Services, the analysis of blood alcohol content samples for purposes of detecting the presence of alcohol is done under very strict controlled process, and every effort is made to ensure credibility and accuracy of the test results to eliminate mistake by all means. And that the whole value chain and tight controls put in place ensures that the results are as accurate as possible. And we believe there's no need for the forensic chemistry laboratories to change the way that the blood alcohol content samples are being tested, and that there should thus not be any additional financial implications. The forensic chemistry laboratories will have to add the measurement of uncertainty to the reported ethanol result, and that this might, in the initial instances, result in having to testify in court more often. It can, however, be minimized if workshops are held with prosecutors in order to introduce the new concept to them. The forensic chemistry laboratories use validated test methods, and that then thus the measurement uncertainty data is available, even if it is not currently reflected on the test reports that they issue. Again, it's on the very same issue of the 0.00% BAC. We specifically incorporate the comments that we made in the previous slide. Next slide. Okay, they say they have concerns that accompanying private enterprise which is produces micro dots would, if the bill is enacted in its current form, be at risk of arbitrary deregistration at the whim of government. We're saying the proposed regulation, the proposed regulations in this regard have been drafted and published for comments in 2018. Comments received were considered, and that it is very important that vehicles be microdotted. Vehicle crime, theft and cloning, that is currently a problem in the country. And that the regulations provide for various other processes, such as the manner of application and the manner of registration and consideration of suitability, together with how the micro dot manufacturer and fitter will be deregistered if he or she is not in compliance with the regulation. There is thus therefore a real need to enhance the regulation of micro dots in the country, as currently there is very minimal minimal regulatory framework in this space. Micro dot legislative framework was first introduced in the NRTA in September 2012 with an insertion of sub-regulation 1A, which provided that a motor vehicle registered for the first time in the Republic or on or after 1 September 2012 shall be fitted with micro dots which comply with the requirements of standard specification SANS 5341 code, which provides as follows. Vehicle security. The whole of the vehicle marking part, part one, micro dots, it was intended for new vehicles with effect from 1 September 2012. But it is also, it has also become important that the requirement of micro dotting must also be incorporated into the process of registration and licensing of vehicles, which required a subs VIN or chassis caps and engine numbers. It then became important that those types of vehicles should, in addition, be micro dotted as well as also be issued with subs clearance certificates. It, however, soon became clear that there are people who fit non-compliant micro dots, and other fitters were doing so in uncontrolled spaces, and there were no checks and balances done on the fitters. Hence, it became important that the legislation be enhanced further to try to close those loopholes that were in existence. A micro dot remains a very essential a tool in the vehicle identification. Next slide. Next slide. Okay. Yes. Sorry, advocate, go back. Yeah. And then we're saying, okay, there were submissions by AA that the Department of Transport is the appropriate department to regulate the industry because their end products are applied on motor vehicles which are operated on the public road, and their operations are indirect, are the direct responsibility of the department. And that same applies to their registration, licensing, and administration. There is no other department suited to regulate this aspect of vehicle administration outside DOT. Therefore, it is not correct that the regulations will escape parliamentary scrutiny, because the NRTA requires currently that before a minister make regulation, he or she must cause such regulations to be referred to parliament for comment. The regulations are, as per the provisions of section 75(6), required to be tabled at parliament for comment at the same time that they are published for comment. The department does not only regulate micro dots. There are also various other safety critical components in the National Road Traffic Act to regulate. Then that the registration and grading of instructors is essential. The driving school industry have been calling for this kind of regulations to make sure that there are no imposters in this area who would be taking advantage of our people under the pretext of teaching them how to operate a motor vehicle, even if they are not even conversant with the provision of K53 manuals. Next slide. AA made comments on section 11. So Chairperson, like you said, I'm not going to read that. Although the response seems disjointed, but then we said the following. It is not correct that the regulations will escape parliamentary scrutiny because the NRTA requires currently that before minister make regulations, he must cause such regulations to be referred to parliament. The regulations are as per the provisions of section 75(6) required to be tabled at parliament for comments at the same time that they are published for comment. The regulation-making powers are within the purview of the minister unless there is a provision which makes it a requirement for the regulations to be done in consultation with any other body. Even that particular provision, if it were to be there in the Act, it is only in special circumstances that such as and when the regulations are required to be developed in the specialized, for example, medical fraternity or any other specialized industry. However, such provisions may at times be limiting the minister's regulation making powers. Next slide. On the grading of driving instructors, we're saying the registration and grading of instructors remains essential and that the driving school industry have been calling for this kind of regulations to make sure that there are no imposters in the area who would be taking advantage of our people under the pretext of teaching them how to operate a motor vehicle, even if they are not conversant with the case. Next slide. On the comment under section 28 of the NRTA, we are saying it could be that AA is not aware, but regulations 114A to 114F were published in July 2004 under Notice 881, proposing a whole regulatory overhaul of the regulations regarding instructors. However, those regulations are not yet in force and will need to be promulgated along with the proposed amendment. Instructors' training and registration are now being dealt with under the provisions of the old Road Traffic Act, which was repealed. Thus, there is a lacuna in that the law needs to be closed by proclamation of the regulations as mentioned above. They made a comment on clause 31, and then we note and accept that. Next slide. They made reference to the definition of incident. We're saying that is not accepted. The introduction of the definition of incident is motivated by the need to have a synchronized way to respond to incidents on our public roads, that the road incident management system contains various provisions as to how the road incident responders should respond to incidents, and also traffic health responders into two categories, that is the primary and secondary responders according to their responsibilities and functions with a view to secure scenes of accidents and avoid secondary accidents which could result in further blockages. REMS is intended to be incorporated into the regulations as part of the schedules to ensure a well-coordinated response to road incidents in the country. Next slide. We contend that the previous comments that we made be specifically incorporated into this proposal. Next slide. They are proposing an amendment to Section 62A, which is under clause 45. We're saying detailed discussions are held quarterly at the REMS meetings, which are spearheaded by Sandra, with stakeholders such as emergency response and ambulance services and tow truck operators. And there is a REMS policy which was developed in this instance, which is intended to make sure that the responses to incidents are synchronized and in accordance with that policy. Next slide. Again, it's on the blood alcohol content, Chairperson. I'll repeat the comments that I've been making insofar as reference to that RTMC and SA Medical Research Council report is concerned, as if they are specifically incorporated here in Chairperson. And on the issue of you're moving too fast, Advocate, sorry. We repeat the comments that we made under the Department of Health. And on, move on. Next slide, Advocate. Next slide, that part. Next slide. They are saying the existing proposal, insofar as Amendment Section 75 is concerned, be retained. And then we are not agreeing that. We are saying the regulation making powers of the are within the purview of the minister, unless there is a provision which makes it a requirement for the regulations to be done in consultation with any other body. Even if that particular provision is there, it will be in special circumstances that would be the case, and that however such a provision may at times limit the minister's making powers. Regulation making powers. Next slide. The definition of micro dots, that is noted, but then we say micro dot technology is already part of the NRT regulations. What we are trying to do here is to streamline the legislative process only, and that there is a real need to enhance the regulation of micro dots in the country, as currently there is very minimal regulation within this space. Next slide. And then Justice Project came in with their comments. Our response there, Chairperson, is as follows. On micro dot technology, we're saying motor vehicle registered for the first time in the Republic on or after September 1, 2012 shall be fitted with micro dots which comply with the requirements standard specification signs 5341. Vehicle security, so the whole of vehicle marking one, and that micro dot systems is micro dot systems. It was intended for new vehicles with effect from 1 September 2012, but it also became important that the requirement of micro dotting must also be incorporated in the process of registration and licensing of vehicles which required subs, VIN or chassis, caps and engine numbers. It then became important that those types of vehicles should in addition be micro dotted, as well as also be issued with sub clearance certificate. It then soon became clear that there are people who fit non-compliant micro dots, and other fitters were doing so in uncontrolled spaces, and there were no checks and balances done on these fitters. Hence, it became important that legislation be enhanced to try to close those loopholes that are in existence. Next slide. They then make recommendations on electronic technologies which could be incorporated in number plates and license lists that are available. We said it was in the context of having micro dot technologies also being included in the number plates to ensure that they correspond with the details of the vehicle. Next slide. Like I said, there are quite a number of regulations that they make. Then we continue to respond, and then we say the following: so far as this is concerned, it is not necessary for driving schools to be regulated with a view to make sure that the imposter driving schools are eliminated and not lost in the country. Driving school industry has been calling for this regulatory framework for some time, and even engaging to some extent in protest actions at the department. Our intention is to make sure that driving school instructors are properly trained for them to be fit for purpose in terms of imparting their knowledge and skill to aspirant South African drivers. The issue of making it compulsory for learners to be trained by driving schools will be considered as well, provided there are no socioeconomic burdens to be placed on our society with the resulting possibility that some families may not be able to afford the driving school fees. For people who are unable to obtain formal education at universities and other tertiary institutions, a driving license becomes essential in making sure that a person is able to enter the formal employment workforce and be able to provide for their families while also contributing to the economy. That there are competing interests in this regard. And as government, while it is important that we ensure we put safer drivers on the public road, we must also be able to guard against overly regulating and thus stifling economic growth and contributing to the hardships of our people. Next slide. They are saying the committee should reject the proposed removal of the limit and instruct the department to leave the current limit as it are. Our response there to is saying we know that, but then it stands to reason that South Africa has a high percentage of road deaths daily, and there are various contributing factors that are responsible for that, and that the other initiatives that have been taken to stem the tide which includes this amendment, and that MECs are as part of the stakeholders and local authorities responsible in terms of Section 3A for performance of those functions, and they are doing them as we speak. Next slide. They go on, well, again, is on clause 46, and then we saw that when we are saying we know that, and that the department, together with RTMC, are at an advanced stage of trying to finalize the 24/7 and the National Traffic Law Enforcement Code. This is work in progress. Next slide. Next. Okay. Insofar as further recommendations that they are making under 5 and 6, we're saying we know that, and that interdepartmental discussions are underway to try to deal with processes of drawing blood samples. However, the Criminal Procedure Act remains the domain of the Minister of Justice. The professionalizing of the 46 recommendation 7 and 8, we're saying we've no debt, and that as I said to earlier on, there are draft regulations on EBET which we are trying to finalize. And they are saying it is only for all these recommendations that are adopted that any reduction in DUI incidents will be seen. We know that, Chairperson. Next. Slide, advocate. Okay, they're making reference to doing away, disposing of shareholders committee, and that is ominous that the bill seeks to dispose of the involvement of the RTMC shareholders committee. Okay, Chairperson, Minister sits as the chair of the shareholders committee. And we, as a department, we extensively consult whenever we make regulations. And in addition to the process of publication of regulations or proposing effect amendments to legislation, we would gazette that. And prior to even doing that, there are various committees. For example, as part of our consultation process, I made reference to, amongst others, IEEE, institutions outside of within government, SABS and NRCS. And then we say there that the NRTA is at concurrent concurrent legislative functionalities, and it follows that legislative amendments can never be unilateral decision of a single person, and that there is always going to be concurrence and agreement within provinces and other stakeholders, including various industrial role players when the proposed legislative amendments are affected. Chairperson, also this committee in the 2008 amendment insisted that an insertion be made where if department proceeds with proposes amendments to legislations regulations so that they are not caught by surprise, they be submitted to Parliament, and we've been doing that ever since. And we address those kind of correspondences to the Secretary to Parliament, and then they deal with that. Yes, move on to the next slide. Sorry about that, I had to say that. Insofar as COSATU are concerned, they said they welcome the tabling of the bill, and that the Federation participated in its engagements at NEDLAC and strongly support its progressive objectives. We know that, Chairperson. Let's move on. And is welcomed. Key areas that the Federation supports included, they made reference to, amongst others, regulation of driving schools. Chairperson, we know that. Let's move on. Next slide. Traffic officials, business interests, we noted that, and then we said the department is aware that such practices lead to conflict of interest and potential for corrupt activities and collusion. Next slide. Next slide. Impounding of vehicles, we noted the input, but then equally said we will ensure that we deal with fraud and corruption within the road traffic law enforcement. Chairperson, we are working on a strategy, National Anti-Fraud and Corruption Strategy, which for the first time will seek to regulate the road traffic law environment, the DLTCs, RAs, and so forth. On the licensing plates, we noted that, and we said it will assist in dealing with car theft and cloning of number plates. Way bridges, noted that, and that it will also assist in the protection of our road infrastructure. Driver's license cancellations, we noted and accepted that. Learners and driving testing, we noted, and that we said that it will lead to a number of accidents that we have on our roads, and that we are working on enhancing the issuance of PRDPs by requiring that critical driving test on the category of vehicle should be required. Next slide. Emergency vehicles, we noted and accepted. Next slide. A complete banning of drinking and driving, we noted and accepted that. They said it must be ruthlessly enforced. Import and exemptions, we noted that, and we say that it is important that the minister have some form of latitude to ensure that they can allow those motor vehicles that are not accepted. Next slide. And we noted and accepted what they said as part of the conclusion. Sakeleha made reference to clause 46 on the prohibitions. Our response that the 0.00 alcohol limit, we noted that, however, the argument that certain medications contains alcohol has been raised on several occasions in the comments that we've received. And but equally so, the very same medications contain warnings that are informing the person imbibing them that they are likely to cause drowsiness and should be consumed if people are not operating vehicles or machinery. And then it stands to reason that, move on. 46, secondly, we noted that we made reference to the preceding slides more. Yeah, they were making reference to, yeah. Yes. Now go on. advocate. Next slide. Yeah, the comments that we had there, yes. And then we had Swart land wine and olive fruit. We noted what they're saying, but then also equally said that because they lamented the point that this might be killing their industry. And in response, we said, our intent is not in any way to prohibit the continued selling and distilling of alcohol, and that neither are we suggesting that same should not be sold or imbibed or taken, and that the proposal only provides that if a person knows that he or she is going to be driving a vehicle from wherever alcohol is served, they must, you know, stay away from either driving or the alcohol itself, stay away from that. And that even though the current BAC as it applies in South Africa is in line with international standards, the rate of compliance in South Africa is very low, thus resulting in accidents and high fatalities. This necessitates perhaps that, and it is important to simply just put in place a prohibitory provision, which will help in eliminating any confusion of one having to struggle with whether a person has had too much or not, and whether to stop or continue drinking more alcohol as they would embark on driving afterwards. We comments that we made in the preceding slides are specifically incorporated in on this point of 0.00, and there was SAAPA, and then what we said in response to a person that we know that, and that the rate at which people die in on our public roads, and some are permanently maimed because of irresponsible and selfish drunk drivers, does not allow for a passive stance, which is currently the case in the country. As it is right now, RAF is under constant pressure, which is brought about by vehicle accidents, some of which could have been easily avoided by coming up with more strict rules to the road, such as the proposed intervention and a change in mindset and better compliance within the road traffic laws. And that in recent times, in the recent COVID times, for the first time, the first-hand experience of how alcohol can change behavioral patterns was witnessed on the 31st of December when the Chris Hani Bandagwanas were said to have recorded a 0% trauma admissions in their trauma wards. And to us, this says a lot about the effect and certain interventions that can be put in place to contribute to positive outcomes in our state. The only difference in this case, the submissions that were made by BASA chairperson were around the very same 0.00 gram, and that law enforcement should be something that we embark upon. And chairperson, I've already said there's work in progress insofar as the 24/7 and the National Traffic Enforcement Code are concerned. We're engaging with DPSA as well, RTMC and ourselves to ensure that road traffic traffic officers are employed 24 hours of the day. And we also make reference to the high deaths and the report by RTMC and SAMAC. Next slide. Again, we made reference, I'm repeating what I said. Next slide. But then here, suffice it to say, Chairperson, that department has concluded an MOA or an MOU with DISTEL, which sit as a representative of some of the entities that make submissions to the portfolio committee. In this MOU, we are encouraging when we do the rituals, that there shouldn't be any drinking and driving, more so over the Easters. And married to that is our 365 agenda and arrival life campaign. Next slide. Well, we noted what they said there. Next slide. Okay. Stellenbosch Wine Roots, the consortium, they came in there arguing the very same point that that was made earlier on that I alluded to, Chairperson. We are not trying to do our or kill industries, but simply say you cannot sit behind a steering wheel, drive whilst you are drunk. And in amplification, again, we made reference to the Chrisani Panakwana's incident where there was zero admissions and so in their trauma units. So I'm not going to bore you with that detail, Chairperson. Our inputs are there. We specifically incorporate the comments that we made in the previous paragraph. Next slide. Next slide. The Chairperson, the fact that in our country we have an unacceptable level of deaths and injuries occasioned by drunken driving, this necessitated that we do what we're doing, because we could not allow the status quo to continue. Chairperson, I'm not going to bore you with that detail. The same was said by Messrs. Philip Smith and Caro. Again, we made reference to the point that we're in the process of implementing 24/7 law enforcement to make sure that there is enough law enforcement officers on our public roads to make sure drunken driving legislative provisions are adequately enforced, and the report by RTMC and SAMA. Next slide. Again, DGMT on 0.00, again, we made reference to the same report and the unacceptable high deaths. Next slide. The comments we made are specifically incorporated in the input that they're making here. Next slide. Again, on the very same point of 0.0%, it's reference to the 0% trauma unit, zero incidences in the trauma unit for Baragwanas and the SAMAC report by RTMC, the report by RTM and SAMAC on the deaths on our roads. Next slide. Chairperson, Dr. Perry made inputs insofar as the issue of 0% alcohol is concerned. His submissions constitute part of the responses that we had to do as department, but then there are telling inputs that he made there, which you will find. So I'm not going to bore you with that detail because the submissions are in his presentation. Ms. Pepler made the comments. Again, we made reference to the RTMC and SAMAC reports. Next slide. Okay, and W.H. Jacobs said they vote for 0%, and then we noted that. Mr. Brahma made reference to that, and he said, as government, we're in the process of implementing 24/7 project, and yeah, I'm not going to repeat what we've been saying all along. So, yes, okay. Gareth Campbell, we said the following. There's no way of actually knowing how much BAC equates for 4 beers because people's bodies do not break down alcohol the same way. Scientific way of determining the BAC in a person's body is the only way to tell for sure if the person has said too much in terms of the limit. This is important also because court requires scientific evidence in order to convict or acquit an accused person of the And that putting in place any test to determine if people are under the influence, it will be like you're condoning drunk and driving. And besides, asking vehicle examiners to conduct such a test will be unethical and dangerous to the person. Next slide. Mr. Sherman made that input and we noted that. Jardine of NODSA, this was around the coming in of the regulation of driving schools, and it's outlined in the sections that we made, the proposed insertions that we make in the chairperson, and that as driving school industry, they've been asking for this for a while. Next slide. Next slide. Okay. Their comments continues there. We'll specifically incorporate what we said in there. And we, however, said the following. Amongst the requirements to be met by driving schools, the identification of the physical address of the intended driving school with the training facility across the, or to a train, yes, to a training facility, identification of the management rep who is registered instructor, their filing system, proof of ownership, vehicles which should be used for training, vehicles which should be used for training, and applicants that shall be clearly marked with a red L and in a legible manner on the rear window and the left-hand side, and a red on their left-hand side, and a red letter L with the white background on the front of the vehicle. Next slide. Ms. Vandenberg, our response to her input was that we know that, but then the problem with regard to operation of vehicles under the influence of alcohol is also a problem. The submission is silent on that aspect. It is acknowledged that there are other factors which the submission perceived to be contributory factors to the accident on a public road. The crux of the matter is that usage of alcohol and drinking remains a problem on our roads. Next slide. Nkululeko Elias Mbele said reasons why drinking and driving is counterproductive. We noted what you said, however, we did not accept, and then made reference to the first time the zero admissions in Krisani Bandakwanas, and that alcohol remains a problem in our country. Next slide. Mr. Nguna proposed that the billboard, there should be billboards around that read "Don't drink and drive." We noted what he said. Trevor Fields, he said he doesn't believe that one beer would affect one's ability. We noted that, but then said alcohol results in reaction times and the ability for one to take evasive actions in the event of an accident, and that the problem is that alcohol breaks down differently in various people. So the effect of, okay, you're too fast for me, advocate. Noted, Dale Collett, we noted what they said, but that difficult for drivers to ensure that they are not intoxicated. However, the effect of alcohol on the driver's ability to control the motor vehicle is the issue. That the amendment does not in any way prohibit social drinking or the use of alcohol. Neither does it prohibit the sale or distribution of alcohol. Instead, it only seeks to prohibit operation of a motor vehicle on a public road while a person is driving. Next slide. Mr. Montgomery. He said he votes to leave it as it is, as Dacha smoking is now illegal. There will be very many drunk drivers on the roads because of Dacha smoking. We noted that and said the Constitutional Court in the judgment they handed down did not say Dacha is legal in South Africa. The case was about private cultivation and the use of Dacha. Judgment only declared the provisions of Section 4B of the Drugs and Drug Trafficking read together with part three of schedule two of the said act on the medicines and related substance inconsistent with the right to privacy as entrenched in the Bill of Rights, and that they are invalid to the extent that they make the use or possession of cannabis in private by an adult person for his or her own consumption a criminal offense. Yeah, let me not bore you with detail. Next slide. Legan Kosa, he said, hi, you guys are only focusing on punitive strategies you will impose on drivers or the public. We said we know that, but then that it's not possible as a requisite condition of a vehicle changes and a person's visual acuity deteriorates over time. And then what happens if a person's eyesight deteriorates during the 10-year period? You are saying, maybe I need to read this because having read that, it doesn't make sense. You are saying, if you were to look on the time frame for license disc and licenses, at least take license disc or 2 years and license renewal to 10 years, because really having a car is costly and at its own hand, and now you'll have legislative requirements, the poor class is struggling. So I wanted to connect the response we made and what Legan Kosa said. Thanks. Next slide. Chairperson, you said 5 past, right? So it's 5 minutes to go. Mr. Lam, no stats on DUI convictions, but believed to be very low. So then in response, we're saying we noted that, but that it's difficult for drivers to ensure that they are not intoxicated. However, the effect of alcohol on drivers' ability to control the motor vehicle is the issue. And then that the amendment does not in any way prohibit social drinking or use of alcohol, and neither does it prohibit the sale or distribution of alcohol. Mr. Gerald, he said, removes the defense of alcohol limit in the blood, thus making it illegal to drive any with any alcohol concentration. We noted that, and we said alcohol generated by would have different ways to be responded to. Next slide. Nkolisi Hadebe, and I recommend accept the bill that is unamended, and that I'd like to see the act to be strong for those who are driving school kids with motor vehicles. Okay, we said the ban on transportation of school children in the back of a bag is in place, and that Regulation 250 of the NRT regulations provides that no person shall on a public road convey school children in the goods compartment of that motor vehicle. That there are various vehicle safety critical components that are in place in the Act and speed governors for commercial vehicles. Whether some of the components should be compulsory is based on the nature of the standard. Thus, for them to be compulsory, the relevant standard must first be incorporated into the Act. Next slide. Okay, comments by A.S. Bunch. Our response there to is that the impact of driving under the influence of alcohol, it affects the ordinary and innocent road users, and that in countries that they are serious about curbing the rate of fatalities occasioned by road accidents resulting from drunken driving, the fatality rate was reduced, and that the same argument we made under the non-admittance at Chris Banagwana's trauma unit. Next slide. Well, maybe just pause there a bit, go back, advocate. South Africa is a country in need of stricter laws when it comes to drink driving. The rate of fatality is too much, even in the presence of the current BAC limit that has been set. Chairperson. We are almost at 5 past. I don't know whether I should stop or continue.
I have set up until 10 past. We'll then stop your advocate.
Chairperson?
You can continue up until 10 past.
I cannot hear you.
Can everybody hear me?
Loud and clear, Jefferson, loud and clear.
I'm saying you can continue advocate up until...
Please, we can hear you, Jefferson.
Yeah. Advocate? Please tell advocate, maybe he can hear you, we can continue up until 10 past.
His voice was programmed till 5 past. advocate, the chair says continue till 10 past.
I've given him the message, thank you.
Okay, sure.
Next slide.
Okay, yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry, I had muted myself. Continue, advocate, sorry. Now, insofar as the economic effects are concerned, Charles Perry in his submissions, in which I've made reference to that, the reductions which are achieved by countries that actually implemented the reduction implemented the reduction in DAC, then it granted that it was not 0%, but it was not 0% alcohol ban, but a reduction in those countries. However, South Africa has a real problem of alcohol abuse by drivers. It is noted that every legislation must be accompanied by effective enforcement in order for it to be effective and derive desired results. Not only that, but also the speed at which scientific evidence enables timeless prosecution of drunk drivers is equally important. And this might not be a silver bullet to the reduction of fatalities or reduction in fatal accidents. However, where interventions are necessary, they should be implemented without delay. But there is no reason why an intoxicated person or persons whose BAC is above the set limit should be behind the wheel of a motor vehicle, and that is important not to lose sight of the fact that the proposal does not in any way suggest that alcohol should not be sold at all or not consumed at restaurants. Although the submissions extensively illustrate various effects of the amendment may have on the various facets of the economy, it is silent on social effects that drunken driving and its resultant fatal crashes has on the population of the country. Next slide. We earlier on made reference to inputs by Charles Perry, Chairperson. I'm not going to bore you with that detail and what we've said there. Sonia de Klerk, not supporting the BAC alcohol content. Next slide. April Kakana, you're saying traffic officers, wardens, and police found guilty should be suspended or fired. And our response there to is that law should apply equally to both law enforcement officials. Next slide. Rosemary, she supported the 0%, and so we know that. She does not support the bill, but then it's however important to say that it's not correct that the proposals are introduced with a desire to make money and generate income. Income generation is not motivation for coming up with these legislative interventions. They have been motivated by the need to improve road safety and improve law enforcement on our public roads,
which will also filter into the areas of enforcement. Revenue generation was never a factor in the development of this. Next slide. Insofar as our response to Mr. Steenkamp's comments, we said his concerns are mainly based on the comments made by the DG pertaining to the embedding of micro dots into new number plate, and that has been published in media in November. We are saying that it's a proposal that is being considered, and as to whether such could also assist in dealing with the cloning of number plates as they contain unique identifying number on their numbers on their vehicles. We specifically incorporate the comments that we made in the previous slide. We repeated that. Next slide. Next slide, Advocate. Revolve around that. And next slide, Advocate. Ms. Beverly Moss wrote a letter around the issues of having at the DLTCs, and that was written to Wills 24. Her comments, albeit that they are unrelated to what is the subject matter of discussion, suffice it to say that we know them, Chairperson, but we are working tirelessly to improve services at the different DLTCs. And as it stands now, the Honorable Minister has held three meetings with the local spheres of government in an effort to come up with a plan of action and develop a strategy to address backlogs at the DLTCs and how best we can serve the members of the public, introducing amongst others kiosks, self-help kiosks. Continue, Advocate. The same letter that Ms. Beverly wrote. Continue, Advocate. Chairperson, it's 11 after 12.
Thank you.
I was told that we need to stop it.
Yeah, that is correct.
Chairperson, I cannot hear you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, unmute yourself, you'll hear me.
Okay, I can hear you, Chairperson.
You can hear me now. Advocate, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Sorry, this problem was on my side.
Yeah, no, it is, the Chairperson cannot be wrong, you must understand that. Thank you very much, Advocate.
Indeed.
Yeah, let me return to the members. I think we have gone up to half of your presentation, Advocate. I just want to double check with members. I'm sure members had time to read this thing on their own, and if that is an agreement, I'll allow members to ask any question that they need to ask from the department. Otherwise, we will then deliberate on issues as we move on in our own deliberations. Let me hear Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Chairperson, thanks once again. Fix my camera, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation up to now. Chairperson, I just want to get some clarity from the department regarding some of their proposals on the 24-hour traffic enforcement. Currently, South Africa, just to give a background, Sweden has 197 plus minus 197 law enforcement officers per 100,000. Japan has 230, Brazil has 211, and South Africa has got double that. per 100,000 law enforcement. We currently don't have the budget for a lot of things. Will the department have the budget to employ so many new traffic officers to assist in the 24-hour law enforcement, because it's going to have a huge impact on the fiscus if they have to double the law enforcement officers? That's my first question, Chairperson. Then secondly, Chairperson, there's been a lot of emphasis on the BAC on accidents. Can the department please submit or give me the fatality rate of accidents in South Africa related to not wearing seatbelts, Chairperson? Because every single person I see driving these days don't wear their seatbelts, and this is contributing to the accidents, but currently the law enforcement can't even enforce that small little thing, or the use of cell phones. So I want to know, what is their strategy on clamping down on the small things? You know, Chairperson, you must clamp down on the small things before you can clamp down on the bigger things, Chairperson. And Chairperson, I asked this previously. I asked the department if they know what gut fermentation syndrome is and if they know what it is. And as I close, Chairperson, what measures are in place that a traffic officer will not sit in front of the church and wait for church goers to come out of church after communion and arrest everybody because they had some communion wine, Chairperson? That's what Chairperson, it might sound strange, Chairperson, but a lot of people use small things like that in political fights and infighting and angry at other family members, and they use those type of dirty tactics, Chairperson. So I would like to get some clarity on that. Thank you very much, Chairperson, as I lower my hand.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Let's take Honorable Manu, followed by Honorable Unsinga.
Chair, thank you very much. I think my major contribution I'll reserve for when we are deliberating as the committee. However, I'd like to request that the department could furnish us, maybe, I'm sure, having gone through all the inputs by the public or whoever, percentage, say those who are opposed to 0% alcohol are this much. Those who are opposed to this, those who are for are this much. Because at the end of the day, we need to remind ourselves that we represent people here. So we need to know what are the people saying in terms of percentage, not what are we thinking. Thank you, Chair. The rest I will really comment when we deliver it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manu, Honorable Hunsinga, followed by Honorable Mabena.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think my colleague, Honorable Lawrence MacDonald, made some very valuable points. My addition to the points, which I absolutely support in also wondering about the questions which he has put to the department, some of which for the second time in this session. Chairperson, a lot of the answers, because that's really what we are dealing with at this stage. We're dealing with the reaction of the department to the public submissions. A lot of the reactions include a specific reference to a future dispensation where we will have or might have, or what's planned to happen, is a 24-hour law enforcement dispensation. This is not in place currently. So I would like to get the department's reaction to what are the intentions, how far are we from this, and with what reality can we then engage in the further processing of this very important piece of legislation, which intends to change behavior, which is really important. So whatever form this takes on, we really have the responsibility in shaping this piece of legislation so that we indeed change behavior. One of which, in terms of mechanism to achieve this, is to have better and improved law enforcement. So as I've already said, that a lot of the reaction from the department is now based on the assumption or the promise or the intent that we would indeed have a future 24-hour law enforcement. How big is this reality? How far is this from being the case? Because this is rather important for our further processing of this. And then I'm looking forward to the other 100 and odd slides. And thank you for Advocate Bagatu and his endurance on this rather lengthy presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hunsinger. Honorable Mabena.
I think I just want to check in terms of, because there was one slide where the advocate, I don't know whether I'm jumping the gun or not, but I think it was one of the responses that they sent to one of the submissions in terms of the lowering of the blood alcohol content. And I saw that he made a reference to a 0.05%. And I think on with the many submissions that came through, there wasn't a significant high number of people that essentially said that the blood alcohol limit needed to be reduced to zero. I just want to return that. If I got it wrong, that's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Advocate, back to you.
Chairperson, maybe let me start off with Honorable Mabena. No disrespect is intended, but I would have to sift through the slides and specifically look for that one and that specific comment, if it's okay, because it's covered in quite a number of slides that we've been responding to, Chairperson. Let me move on to the next one. Now, and in the order that they came in, 24 reference, starting off with Honorable McDonald. Reference to 24/7 and assistance with budget. Chairperson, this is what happens annually. There are applications that are made through the RTNC that provision be set aside for paying overtime to traffic officers that will be manning our roads during the festive season. And it's a huge amount that we spend or that gets spent, right? Now, the idea is one, not to go that route, but two, have 24/7 in effect or coming into effect. What the status of that, Chairperson, is in consultations are ongoing with provinces. So much so that the policy is meant to serve before some of the provincial legislatures and some of the departments are being assisted to prepare business cases, right? And Honorable Minister has written letters to the nine premiers that we have to say, look, and the MECs that this is a reality that we need to embark upon and we need to do things differently as a country, right? And we see that as one of the tools that we need to bring about. Like I said, Chairperson, it's work in progress. That's the third part of it. The fourth point is a letter has been written to the DG at DPSA from our DG here. Why? We would want to engage meaningfully with DPSA, for we know that insofar as appointment is concerned of officials, Public Service Act kicks in. And we can't do much without their buy-in and support, right? That's how it works. That's how it's envisaged to unfold. So as it is now, it's only Western Cape that is doing 24/7 enforcement, chairperson, out of the other provinces. On the issue of blood alcohol content and that the fatality rate of people not wearing seatbelts. Well, Honorable McDonald, when we capture the, and I stand to be corrected, when the stats are kept, I'm not certain whether there is that outlier where it says, was this person wearing a seatbelt or not? Because you have to look.
Sorry to interrupt, advocate. I think you understand the question incorrectly. I wasn't referring to, Chairperson, through you, apologies, Chairperson. You are chairing. I can't continue without your permission, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, I think that you understood the question incorrectly, Chairperson. I was referring to the how many of the accidents, fatal accidents in South Africa, was related to the not wearing of seatbelts, not those ones that were already related to alcohol content. I was relating to, in total, of all the fatalities in South Africa, what was the percentage of non-seatbelt wearing passengers or drivers, Chairperson?
Okay.
Chairperson, thanks for that clarity. I will look into that in terms of those stats. And Honorable McDonald also made reference to clamping down on small things like use of cell phone. There is legislation in place with regard to use of cell phone. And again, I know this has made news. Western Cape is also hard on that. And that doesn't mean other provinces are not, but I know for a fact that they can confiscate your phone should you be found driving a cell phone. Now, Honorable McDonald made reference to blood fermentation syndrome. Honorable member, this is the first time I heard of such, and based on the explanation you provided, I am now empowered. I know something else, so I was not alive to that. And you made reference to traffic officers. A traffic officer sitting at a corner of a street next to a church to simply arrest churchgoers for having taken the honorable member, as far as I know, because I'm a Catholic, I know for a fact that the wine that is served there does not contain alcohol, right? And if in instances where somebody is there to do that, it do be a first, but then you'll know that we said there is measure of an index as part of the responses that we made from the Department of Health was that the uncertainty this person would be malicious in their conduct. But in most instances, my recollection is the alcohol served by the Honorable Priest does not contain, the wine that gets served by the priest does not contain alcohol. I could be wrong still. Insofar as Honorable Manu is concerned, the request was that we finish the committee with a percentage of those that were in support and those that were not in support. We'll look into that. And then there was Honorable Hunsinger, who aligned himself with the inputs made by Honorable McDonald. Chairperson, can I just do something?
Yes, advocate. Oh. ask them nicely to keep quiet. I can hear their children where you are. Don't harass them, please.
Yeah, no, they are not children. It's just officials that decided to make noise in my office. My humble apologies for that. Okay, just going back to what Honorable Hunsinger said. He said he aligns himself with the inputs made by Honorable McDonald, and that insofar as the future dispensation of this 24/7, he would want to see what is it that we intend, the reality, what is it that it is intended to do, and the reality of the, can it be some, the reality thereof, whether they can engage to change behavior. Honorable Hunsinger, this is the 24/7 shift. It's a project that's been led by the RTMC and the department. Like I explained earlier on, we've embarked on consultations and assisting provinces and to prepare business cases which are meant to serve before their legislatures, provincial legislatures. We've written letters to MECs and the premier of the provinces to support this initiative. And then it will be coupled with the National Traffic Law Enforcement Code. So it's work in progress that we've embarked upon. We'll be engaging with DPSA, as I said, so far as employment of traffic officers, because it falls within the purview of the Public Service Act, and that because of the pressure groups that are out there, we need to extensively engage with them to ensure that they are on board as well. But that it remains for now that the Western Cape province is doing that. The 24/7 law enforcement. Yeah, I think those were the submissions and my responses to them. And Chairperson, if I may ask, because there were requests that we made that I need to submit information, how much time does the Honorable Chairperson give me?
How much time do you need, advocate? Are you ready? Can you submit tomorrow?
I'll look into that, and with a view to see to it that by tomorrow, those stats and some of this information is before you.
Thank you very much. That is due to time frames. I don't want a situation where when we deliberate, there is an information that members would feel that if the information was here, they will have benefited too. So give it your best shot.
Okay, Chairperson.
And
thank you for that.
I think from our side, advocate, we may revert back to you on issues that will crop up on the other 138-36 slides that you didn't touch on as we deliberate. I think that should be fair to all of us, although I would have taken that members have read, but should there be any question that arises, please allow us to take it up with your good self, and we'll also await a quick response on it. Is that in order, advocate?
Okay. It is in order, Chairperson.
Is that in order, Honorable Members?
It is. Oh, okay.
Honorable in order, Chairperson.
Is it in order? Thank you, Honorable McDonald. I can see Honorable Hunsinger's agreeing. Okay. Thank you very much, advocate. And okay. Let me revert back to the DG. I can see the DG is still here. DG, do you have anything to say?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I had listened attentively, and at least for a change, I didn't have to say a lot, Chair, and it was good listening to another voice answering the questions and providing the committee with the answers that are required. And we had worked hard on the bill, and with so huge the response in terms of comments and input, it has taken us a significant period. We burned the midnight oil. We were working till quite late with the team in legal services and roads, and trying to incorporate everything and to have appropriate responses, and to also assess which of the comments should be assimilated and which ones would not serve the purpose and the objects of what we're trying to achieve, and to also present such a summary to the committee in this regard. So Chair, we are grateful for the further inputs and comments given by the committee. And now when the committee deliberates on the matter, at least it would have had our opinion about what we think of the comments that have come across. And we welcome the interaction as well as the tough questions that have been posed. We've also had the areas where the committee has discomfort, and we have taken note of that. We will await the outcome of the deliberations of the committee and then take the process forward from there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Honorable members, can we deal with the minutes of the 26th of May? Any correction by any member? Honorable Honsinger, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, referring to the previous meeting and the engagement which we had based on the Economic Transport Regulation Bill, Mr. Alec Mumi invited me for a meeting, upon which I reacted to him by SMS, but unfortunately has not reacted to that or responded to that. So having the opportunity of this platform in a form of direct engagement, Chairperson, through you, can I please just inquire which form of communication Mr. Mohemi prefers, since he hasn't reacted to my SMS and I'm not updated with his recent preferences of communication. So could you please guide me in this attempt then to honor the invitation of the DG Chairperson? Thank you.
Honorable member, I did say when this proposal was done that we should not be made part of, but I did hear when the DG made this proposal to you. DG, that was your proposal and it is catching up with us. Do arrange and fulfill your commitment to take Honorable Honsinger on a cup of tea. Are you with us, DG? And that Miami? Hala. Anybody in the office of the DG? Advocate Mahat.
Chairperson?
Do inform the DG. I'm sure he's happy that some progress has been made here, that we are reminding him to keep in touch with Honorable Honsinger as he has promised. I'll also make a follow-up because that promise was made in our presence here, so that we close that matter.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I am sure you are answered, Honorable Honsinger.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Can we deal with minutes of the 26th? Any correction by any member?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Before you proceed, do you still require our presence?
You are liberated. advocate and remember that we are gearing towards a zero tolerance in terms of percentages. You can go home and continue with your work.
I thank you kindly, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. On my side, I think the only correction I saw was on paragraph 7. There was a request by the secretary that the economic regulation of transport bill should be put in the agenda of the 3rd of June for the draft list. And that proposal was not supported as the committee felt it was too early to do that. Am I capturing our views? And I think that was the proposal by Honorable Hunsinger, which was supported by Honorable Lawrence McDonald. Am I capturing your proposal, Honorable Hunsinger, correctly?
Sorry, Chairperson, could you just repeat that, please?
The secretary of the committee asked whether a slot should be included for the consideration of the draft list of amendments for the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill in the agenda of the 3rd of June. That proposal was not supported, and you were the first member to shoot straight to say it was too early for that proposal to be discussed on the 3rd of June. Am I capturing what you said correctly?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you indeed. You are capturing correct. We are supporting, and we just feel that more time should be allocated to this in terms of consideration. It's just a matter of that we need more time. We shouldn't rush it. Chairperson, you are quite correct.
Okay, thank you very much. I think with that correction, if there's nobody to correct anything, can we move for adoption of the minutes? Any mover?
Chairperson, Honorable McDonald, I move for the adoption of the minutes with those corrections.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Any seconder?
Chris Hunsinger seconds. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Hunsinger. Honorable May?
Yes, Chair.
I did promise you that we will entertain your issue formally.
Yeah. Honorable Chairperson, to save time, I'll put all the facts together and I'll email it to Valerie. Or do you want to discuss it now?
No, I don't want you to discuss now. I want you to raise the issue as we had raised the issue earlier on, so that we are with you as the committee.
Yeah. Okay, Chairperson, I made notes here. One minute. Okay. I received a complaint from the public in Yabatina in connection of the closing of a DLTC. I went to see the manager, Mr. Goodman. He explained to me that he received instructions from the inspectorate to close the DLTC as they are going to renovate the DLTC. Then I went to Carriera to see the municipal manager, but he was not available. So I spoke to Mr. Floers, a senior member of the traffic department, and he confirmed that it is closed as they received instructions from the inspectorate to close it. The next day, I went to the inspectorate in Port Elizabeth. It's a difficult word, Kabeja, but in any case, the second in charge, Mr. Tyron Martin, then told me that they never gave instructions to close the DLTC. In my presence, he phoned Mr. Goodman and Mr. Floers, and he read the email that he sent to both of them. The inspectorate gave them instructions. They gave them instructions to close the DLTC the day before they start to renovate it. I phoned Mr. Floors the next day, and he told me he's not taking any instructions from Mr. Martin. A week later, I went to see the municipal manager in Carriedo. He was on his way to a meeting and told me that he doesn't know anything about the closing of the DLTC. 2 weeks later, he sent an email to a person in Jobatina to confirm that the DLTC is closed. I phoned him a week ago and asked him when is he going to open the DLTC. I was informed that he received instructions from a director to close the DLTC. I asked him to send me the emails to me. I would like to contact that director. I'm still waiting for the emails. This is as far as I know a cover-up story. And if you want to know the truth, we can contact Mr. Tyrant, because he, in the first instance, he didn't give any permission to close that DLTC.
Thank you very much.
And I only want to mention, Chairperson, it's about 140 kilos from George, the nearest place, and on the other side, it's Utney. And so many of the people from PE and Utney go also to Jobatina.
Okay. Thank you very much. I thought we should entertain this matter. I will request you to email me, as you have said. I think Valerie has the gist of the matter. We will be writing to DLC to request for a response as a matter of urgency, Honorable May, to try and address that issue. By so saying, I think we have reached the end of our meeting. Valerie, is there anything that we are leaving outside?
Not from my side, Chair. Just a reminder to you that I've sent an email about the request from stakeholders to present to the committee. That we receive over time. So I don't know if you want to deal with that tomorrow.
Maybe let's deal with it tomorrow, Valerie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable May. Baba Manu.
Chair, thank you so much. I just saw the notices of the meetings for tomorrow and the other day are 9 o'clock, sorry, if I'm correct. But I see on the minutes of the 26th, there is 1800. I don't know if I read one of them wrongly, just to align that if possible. In other words, is it 1800 tomorrow and the other days, or is it 9 in the morning? Thank you, Chair.
You will remember that some members had some difficulties. I think Honorable Hansinger raised that point. Difficulty with a meeting of 6 o'clock. We have since been given a green light to have our meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So I can confirm tomorrow that our meeting will start at 9 o'clock, Honorable Manu, and the meeting of Thursday will start at 6 o'clock, because we are all available for that slot. I think, thank you very much for
clarity. Thank you.
The meeting stands adjourned until tomorrow, and thank you very much for all the participation towards bringing this bill to the end so that we bring clarity. Thank you very much. Long live everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.